about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the live edition of Let's Paint, Exercise, and Let's Make Blended Drinks tonight, and we're taking your calls. All these wonderful things that we can do all at the same time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
My name is Kevin Beacon. For those of you who need an introduction, I am an award-winning journalist. I've won a local Emmy. But in truth, I'm just a gypsy tumbling around the globe, chasing truth, which is, as you know, quicksilver. The more you try to grasp it, the more it slips through your hands. News, because I am the face of it in Spokane, Washington, is my life, my lover, my mistress, my best friend, and I will fight to the death to defend it. And with that, I relinquish to you, Mr. Chair.
And now.
Yo, get off it.
Our feature presentation.
That guy sounds like you should get off it.
Yeah. I think so. Wow.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 11th, I want to say. 12th?
I think 13th? It might be the 12th. 14th? I think it's the 12th, isn't
13th,
it?
13th, I have.
Our schedule says 13th.
Hmm.
Is it?
Wow. It's the somewhere in the middle of June.
It's almost
it sounds
the
like
15th.
It's the 13th.
Yeah.
Okay. I accept the 13th.
All right.
Hey, party people, here's a if you're not doing this, then you don't love your man or woman. You're not doing it right.
Uh-oh, what?
Well, apparently eyeball licking is the hot thing going right now. Eyeball licking is where it's at. That's a couple that cares about one another is eyeball licking.
Eyeball licking.
All right. Well, I got to step up my game, clearly.
Licking someone else's eyeball is pleasurable to either person?
That's right. A strange, erotic activity wherein participants actually put each other's tongues on each other's eyeballs. It is also called oculolinctus.
Don't sound sexy.
No, it
or
doesn't.
Worming. Worming is the slang term for it. Here's one 29-year-old, an environmental science student in the U.S. Virgin Islands, who says, "My boyfriend started licking my eyeballs years ago, and I just loved it. I'm not with him anymore, but I still like to ask guys to lick my eyeballs. I just love it because it turns me on. It's like sucking my toes. It makes me feel all tingly. It's a very intimate act. I don't ask just anyone to do it. Guys I like a lot are more likely to not think it's so weird. I've never had anyone turn me down, though. Apparently, it's been around for a couple of years. If you search eyeball licking on YouTube, you'll see lots of videos from people. However, apparently, it is really getting out of control with young people in Japan right now. And Japan is suffering from a huge problem with kids in school getting pink eye as a result of eyeball licking.
Of course.
That sounds sexy.
Listen to this, Kevin. You think you know what your kids are doing. In one classroom of 12-year-olds, a third of students confess to either worming or being wormed.
What? How is that pleasurable in any way? Wouldn't that be super, like, annoying?
I would think so.
Somebody else's tongue in your eye?
Yeah, I would be nervous that that could go wrong and it could somehow cause injury, I would think. Because the eyeball, I mean, what's more sensitive on your body than the eyeball, right? Well, seems like it wouldn't take that much to do some real damage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to trust it to somebody else's tongue.
Here's an ophthalmologist in San Diego who says that nothing good can come of this. There are ridges on the tongue that can cause a corneal abrasion. And if that person hasn't washed out their mouth, they might put acid from citrus products or spices in the eye. Another ophthalmologist in La Mesa, California says that if a licker has a cold sore, it's possible to spread herpes into the eye.
Oh, come on now.
What happens if you have herpes in your eye?
Eye herpes does not sound fun, although they are playing Coachella next year, which I'm excited about. Other dangers include pink eye, of course, and bacteria can be a problem, too. Bacteria in the mouth is nothing like bacteria in the eyeball, so which is why people who used to lick their contact lenses to moisten them are advised to no longer do that. So, bad times or good times? What do you guys think? Are we in
all
or are we
bad?
Out?
We're way out.
Oh, no, I'm in.
There's
awesome.
There's no way that feels good.
It'll tingle my toes.
I mean, I don't see how
other things will tingle your toes.
I don't see how it would feel good either, just because there's nothing. It doesn't seem like the eyeball has that kind of sensitivity, the sexy kind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not into feet, but I can understand why at least it's skin. At least skin is kind of built for that sort of sensitivity.
It seems like if anything touches your eye, it's an emergency. You have to get it out of your eye right now.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the kind of panic that you get.
Well, you're not going to have a 12-year-old girlfriend, apparently, wow, because you're not going to be able to get it done.
Wait, really? I'm not going to have a 12-year-old girlfriend?
Not one of these Japanese girls that's into the worming, I'll tell you that.
That'll be all right.
So there you go.
I agree.
So take that with you into your day today, kids. Let's talk about today's show, shall we?
Now I've lost my appetite.
Can we talk to Dr. Drew about this today?
Hey, we should. We should bring it up. Absolutely.
Good idea.
He's probably heard about it. He's probably written a paper on it, and it's been published.
He's probably done it.
We have, we'll ask him.
He probably did it to the teen mom.
We have a new citizen of the day. We have Kanye West's amazing New York Times interview, which is fantastic. Couldn't love it more. We have Bruce Campbell from Burn Notice. They are on their 100th episode.
How about that?
I just watched the season premiere. It was awesome.
We have a brand new internet roundup, and in studio today we have Seth Rogen talking about This Is the End.
Awesome.
Love Seth.
How about that? So that's coming up. We'll take a look at the showbiz beat.
Ralph Garman is out for one more day, back tomorrow. In the meantime, we're picking up the slack here for the Kevin Amin showbiz beat. Farrah Abrahamson-Sumden.
What's this for, mate?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Is back in the news because she's never out of the news, as you know, Kevin, because she's here to stay. Because we'll never, ever get rid of her.
I think that's premature. She's going to go
away. She, of course, is the teen mom turned porn star. She was a guest on the Howard Stern radio show yesterday and made a little bit of news with a couple of things she said. First of all, Howard pressed her, as any good-thinking American would, about why she's still sticking with her story that it was a private sex tape that leaked rather than something that was constructed with a plan to make a sex tape with a professional porn star in a professional way to sell it for a lot of money.
Which everybody has come out now and said.
We all know.
The company, the guy, everybody has said that's
right.
The deal.
She denies it. She says it was very private. He leaked the tape. She didn't want it out. She's sticking to that story. So first of all, she's a big fat liar. Second of all, she masturbates to her own sex tape.
What?
Now, is that a thing that people... Lisa, do you masturbate to your own sex tapes? Because that strikes me as odd.
No, I do not. Nor my pictures, nor my paintings. None of that.
Your paintings?
My slideshow. Oh. I don't do it to any of
all right.
That.
How about the Lisa Mae Clay statue that I made for you a few years ago on your birthday?
Does I
that
do not.
Do anything for you?
Nope.
And again, I have to ask, just like I have to ask about everything that has to do with the teen mom, is this her saying something that she thinks will keep her, will make news like it has, or do you think it's possible that it's true? Is she so in love with looking at herself, maybe, that it's a turn on to her because she thinks she's so hot?
I think she says it because she thinks it's going to sound hot.
I don't believe anything spicy out of her mouth.
I don't either.
It's
just BS.
Anyway, another day, another story with Farrah Abraham, so do with that what you will.
Jack Nicholson does not mess around when it comes to the Lakers. Maria Menounos from Extra revealed on Conan O'Brien that she was sitting courtside at the Boston Celtics game with Dane Cook when they got booted out of the game.
And wait, Celtics-Lakers, you mean?
Yes, Celtics-Lakers. Okay. She's, of course, a Celtics fan.
Right.
Which is not acceptable.
Well, she's born and raised and from Boston. So she's just rooting for her hometown.
Sorry, not acceptable. She was with Dane Cook. That's not enough for you?
No, that, I mean, look, she should be struck dead for that.
All right. See, there's one for both of us. She's like a Celtics fan and she's with Dane Cook. So apparently the legendary actor spotted the two of them a little bit later and remarked, "I see they moved your seats." And it turned out he talked to Dr. Jerry Buss about them sitting courtside rooting for the Celtics and had them moved.
Can you do that?
Well, apparently, no, unless you're Jack Nicholson, in which case the answer is
yes. I mean, if I'm, anyone, this happens to be these two people, but if I'm anyone and I've paid for and that's my seat and they come and say I have to move because I'm rooting for the team, that just doesn't seem like you can do that.
I don't know that they said it's because you're rooting for another team, but come on. If Jack Nicholson, who's really pretty much the face of the Lakers...
It is funny, though. Yeah, I have to give Jack credit for that.
He tells them to move them, and then they get moved. That's awesome.
I can't imagine anyone has gone to see this terrible Vince Vaughn movie, The Internship, that's out. But in case you're... What?
What?
Hello?
Hello?
You went to see that?
Yeah.
How was that, Kevin?
I expected it to be bad. It was better than that. It wasn't too bad.
I didn't think it looked that bad, and everybody booed me in the office.
No, it wasn't too bad.
I think it looks...
Yeah, but you hate all movies.
I don't. I love
movies.
Like
four movies a year.
I know.
I love movies, but this movie just looked
horrible.
You would
have hated it because it's just silly dumb.
Yeah,
and you can't
fun.
Take that. But it was fun.
Well, it is a giant product placement for Google, obviously, and that's one of the reasons why they got it made, is because they had full cooperation from Google. And that's the story, for folks who don't know, is that Vince Vaughn and what's-his-face, Owen Wilson, they go and get an internship at Google. Now, in case you were wondering, I thought this was interesting. Real internships at Google. First of all, how long have interns been getting paid? I thought interns were supposed to work for free because they're getting experience and something to put on their resume. Is that not how it works?
That's what
anymore?
I thought the deal was to this day.
That's how it works with ours.
I did definitely how it works on the Kevin and Bean Show. Nobody makes a dime. You lose money doing this job. Interns apparently now get paid at big firms. What do you suppose the average intern at Google makes in a month? Now, Google, of course, I'll give you a hint here. Google is famous for how generously they treat their employees. As you know from seeing the movie, Kevin, you know they've got chefs making food, and they got massages, and they got games, and they've just got every... I mean, it looks like the greatest place in the world to work, right?
After seeing that movie, I thought, for real, I thought, I wonder if Google paid for this movie entirely.
Oh.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it is so... Google heavy.
Oh, it just makes them look so good because apparently they are the greatest company in the world to work for because they just offer all the perks of the world. Now, being an intern is a tough job. I mean, they have their pick of smart people, so they will work you hard and they do put you on projects. I mean, you're not just there to, you know, make copies. I mean, you're there to work. But what do you suppose an intern at Google makes?
I would say 20 grand.
Oh, a month? Yes, a month.
Yeah, I was going to say about $2,000 a month.
I'd say $1,500 a month.
$5,787 a month.
Shut up.
Software, that's the average intern. Software engineer interns at Google can make over $6,500 a month.
Interns.
So if you go for the summer, if you go for 3 months, you're walking away with like $18,000 after 3 months as an intern.
Well, that's not interning, that's an employee.
I guess they call it an internship because it's, you know, it's only for a limited
time.
I mean, you're only in, only research interns at Microsoft get better pay. They can make over $7,000 a month. Guys, we should have been smarter.
We should have been so much smarter.
Oh my God.
That's what we should have gone for.
Wow. You would have been fine. I would have had to really, like, triple up.
It's just, it's unbelievable, though. Again, I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen enough about the real Google to know about, they have, like, all these different restaurants in there, like, any kind of food you want, like, on-site, they're making it for you, and they have full-staff gym and the massages and everything, plus that kind of money. No wonder everybody wants to work there.
That was funny when they walked into the Starbucks and they started ordering stuff, and he said, oh, yeah, it's no cost. Oh, really? This is free? He couldn't get over it. Vince Vaughn, this is free? Well, then I'll have a muffin. He's like, no problem, sir. You can have it for free. Then I'll have two. Like, he just couldn't get his head around the idea that it's completely free. Eddie Murphy's daughter is speaking out. Her name is Bria. She is a model. And
she's very pretty.
She's telling the truth about what the modeling world is like. She's 23 years old. She was on Good Morning America. And she said that a lot of wannabe catwalkers, quote, get addicted to drugs and anorexia because of the immense pressure to be absolutely perfect.
Now, you can't gain 2 pounds if you're a model, right?
I don't think so. I think no matter how fat you are, you should be skinnier. And to me, that's ugly.
It is.
But you can see ribs and all that kind of stuff, I'm out.
But clothes hang great. And that's
what they need. Oh, I see. Yeah, it's ugly to me. But she says, and here's one thing that I've never heard about, how to curb your hunger. That certain models eat cotton balls soaked in orange juice.
Oh, my
God. Nice delivery.
They actually eat
cotton balls soaked in orange juice to avoid hunger.
That has to be terrible for you, right?
Write that down to ask Dr. Drew about, too.
Yes.
Topic number 3 for Dr. Drew.
Wow.
Eating cotton balls soaked in orange juice.
Can you digest cotton balls?
So in other words, it fills you up and gives you no calories.
I guess.
That's no good.
And then you poop out paper mache. I don't know how it works.
Mmm, delicious. I have not heard that one before.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
I mean, I thought it was mostly just Altoids and cigarettes. I thought that was the standard
Sorry, what,
diet.
Lisa?
I
have to try that.
Yeah. Hey, today's celebrity birthdays. We've got some good ones, including actor Malcolm McDowell. He is 70. He, of course, is on Franklin and Bash now, but we know him from Heroes and a million other things and lots of movies in the old days. Tim Allen. Sorry, Omar. Your mortal enemy, Tim Allen, turns 60 years old today. Rivers Cuomo, where's he been lately? Of course, he's the head Weezer. He's 43 years old today. Our friend Steve-O turns 39. Chris Evans is 32 today. He's Captain America, don't you know? How about Ashley and Mary-Kate? Billionaires. Not on Twitter, by the way. I read an article the other day about the young stars that aren't on Twitter. No Mary-Kate and Ashley on Twitter, even though they're only 27 and should be.
Literal billionaires with a B. That's crazy. Yeah. Yes, at 27.
And they were that way at 20, weren't they? Or 19?
They were that way at 10. Whoa. They were unbelievably rich, yeah. Kat Dennings, another great actress, is 27 years old today. And Aaron Johnson from Kick-Ass turns 23. And that's the showbiz. Time for a citizen of the day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's citizen of the day.
Well, I'm conflicted. I need you guys' help to pick one. Right. I got a couple of stories. The first one is, says, warning, what follows is gross. There was a dude on a mega bus traveling from Washington, D.C. to New York City, a 2-hour drive.
Okay.
Started watching porn on his phone.
Okay. Right. Like you do.
What, right there on the bus and didn't look around to see if anyone could see it, didn't hide it, didn't try to, no headphones.
Okay. Now, what are we helping you decide, whether he's cool or not?
No. I want you to decide between the four stories who's our citizen of the day.
Okay.
Then this guy unzipped and started taking care of business.
Like you do when you watch porn. Why would you ever watch porn in public
to begin with? I don't know. Why
would
you?
It's a long bus ride, Lisa.
Right, but you can't. But you're not supposed to.
Right, but he did and was for 2 hours.
What?
He needs
to
see a doctor.
The whole bus ride for 2 hours did it.
What's he got going on?
I don't know. But there was a woman on there, and she was she left a post. She was saying, I didn't know what to do. What's etiquette in this situation?
Hours.
2 full hours. They pulled him off. They arrested him for, you know, indecent exposure and whatever else. But I am fascinated by the fact that the guy was able to go for 2 hours.
Oh,
that's
my God.
They pulled him off the bus, or they jerked him off the bus.
Hey, see what you did? Police say man jailed after calling 911 about 80 times for Kool-Aid, hamburgers, and weed. This one, of course, comes out of Florida. Dispatchers manning 911 lines hear calls of emergencies all the time, but this guy called 80 times in a 24-hour period and asked the 911 operator, who I'm sure every time told him, hey, this is an emergency line. You can't do this.
Yeah.
10,
don't
12,
they usually,
20,
by
30?
The way, hasn't our past experience been with stories like this that when you call the third time,
yes,
they send a police officer out not to help you but to arrest you for abusing 911?
He got arrested, but after calling
but 80 times.
And when he got arrested, he went to jail. And on being taken to jail, an officer wrote that he started chewing the foam attached to the metal caging. So that guy has some trouble.
Wow, this is going to be a tough choice. I love both of these guys so far.
The next story is a middle school. At the end of the year, they were having a party for fourth and fifth graders. It was the final day. It was the beginning of summer party, and it was at a bowling alley. And I'm going to let a TV report tell you this story.
This building isn't nearly as busy as it was a week ago. Kids left these Washington Elementary classrooms for the summer, but not without one final celebration for fourth and fifth graders. That happened at the River's Edge Bowling Alley last Thursday.
All right, so far so good. They're going to a bowling alley, fourth and fifth graders, a bunch of people are there.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
And now, the start of summer party is prompting investigations.
We will not be talking about those matters.
That's the principal, who doesn't want to answer any questions about what happened at the bowling alley.
There are matters connected to Maria Kaya. A police report says around noon Thursday, Kaya vomited in the River's Edge bathroom before she passed out. Oh. Once at the hospital, the Washington Elementary teacher admitted to drinking.
This party was at noon.
Okay, at 6 a.m. By lunchtime, her blood alcohol level reached 0.27, more than three times the legal limit.
Started drinking at 6 a.m.
Whoa.
Puked, passed out.
Whoa.
Supposed to be watching fourth and fifth graders.
Look, I'm not saying she did the right thing. I'm saying, can you imagine a bowling alley full of amped fourth and fifth graders? Like, wouldn't you want to drink?
And finally, this story comes out of Pennsylvania. There was a car accident, a three-car accident right in front of this old man's house. And a Good Samaritan pulled the truck into this guy's driveway and was trying to help an 85-year-old woman that was trapped in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The guy wanted to leave and he wanted to go to dinner. So he was upset that there was a Good Samaritan parked in his driveway. He wasn't part of the accident. It just happened to be in front of his house.
As we're gathering information and investigating the crash, Mr. Moody approached angry and irate because somebody had parked in his driveway.
Is the police officer telling the story?
This is William Moody. He's 71 years old. It was his driveway. Police say a Good Samaritan pulled in to help the accident victims.
He claimed he sat there, him and his wife sat there for 10 minutes trying to get out of their driveway to go get dinner, which upset him.
Police say Moody used profanity at them and became combative. Once he was finally under arrest and handcuffed, he pulled a fast one.
Mr. Moody actually faked a heart attack or a medical emergency. Went on a fake that he was unresponsive. Mr. Moody sprung to and again became belligerent and combative, striking and swinging at Officer Crosco and myself.
Once at the police station.
Okay, so the guy just wants dinner. Now right. He's being arrested, fakes a heart attack, takes right. another swing at officers.
Look, I'm down with old people, as you know, and we get cranky if we don't eat by 5.
Now he's in jail.
Moody reportedly started up again.
At one point, he removed his false teeth as well as his smokeless tobacco, which he still had in his mouth, threw it, striking me with the dentures.
There you go. So he threw his dentures at the cops.
Well, that's a very tough group choice to choose from. Yeah, I like Bus Porny. I like him, and I like a man throwing his teeth in jail. Right. I
think Mr. Moody, he's my guy.
All right, Mr. Moody. Yes.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans. Citizen of the...
If you missed Fall Out Boy in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock yesterday afternoon, you have an encore presentation to look forward to today at noon. Noon, 12 o'clock, high noon, K-Rock.com. You can watch Fall Out Boy performing that song and lots of others live in the Red Bull Sound Space.
And this time we mean it.
This time we do mean it, yeah. They're, of course, playing with New Politics, a band I love, by the way, at the Wiltern tonight, and that is sold out. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. By the way, we're going to be looking for people who are hit by lightning next hour. Again, why do you laugh, Lisa?
I don't know. It just seems like we're not going to find a lot.
It does. But yesterday after we talked about it, just for a second, a guy told me that his car was hit by lightning.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that'd be so scary.
A lot of people have been close, that's for sure. If you were killed by lightning, we don't need to hear from you. But if you were just hit by lightning.
I would love to hear if you've been killed.
That'll be coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, I know, Kevin, you are not much in the habit of reading the New York Times.
No, I don't read
it. It's a little bit too much of a grown-up paper for you.
Reading is for losers, right?
I have heard that is true.
Okay,
but
good.
Even you yesterday couldn't keep your eyes off of NewYorkTimes.com because of this Kanye West interview.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Kanye West is one of those guys who, is he really that person? Does he really mean this stuff? Is he just trying to get attention? I think it's real. I think he's... I happen to like his music personally.
Uh-huh.
So I love him.
But he's crazy.
Yeah.
I think he's crazy.
But is he crazy like a fox? In other words, does he come out with interviews like this at the most opportune times for him? Like he's got a new album coming out on Tuesday, and now he's got this interview where he has quote after quote after quote that makes people talk about Kanye West. Does he know exactly what he's doing?
I don't know.
Let's run through just a couple of things that Ye had to say in this interview. When your debut album, The College Dropout, came out, the thing that people began to associate with you besides music was, here's someone who's going to argue for his place in history. Like, why am I not getting 5 stars? Now, that's the interviewer's question. And that's just a nice way of saying, hey, Kanye, no matter how much you get, no matter how many awards you win, no matter how celebrated and revered you are, it seems like you're always bitching that it's not enough.
Yeah, and he is always bitching that it's not enough. And he's always bitching about the critics. They don't give him enough credit, blah,
right.
blah, blah.
Right. If you don't give him an A-plus for one of his albums or concerts, he feels like he's being dissed.
Yeah.
Here's what he answered to that question. I think you've got to make your case. 7th grade, I wanted to be on the basketball team. I didn't get on the team, so that summer I practiced. I was on the summer league. My team won the championship. I was the point guard. And then when I went to 8th grade, I practiced and I hit every free throw, every layup. And the next day I looked on the chart and my name wasn't on it. I asked the coach, what's up? And he said, you're not on it. And I was like, but I hit every shot. The next year, I was on the junior team when I was a freshman. That's how good I was. But I wasn't on my 8th grade team because some coach, some Grammy, some reviewer, some fashion person, some blah, 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 they're all the same as that coach. Where I didn't feel I had position in 8th grade to scream and say because I have every one of my shots I deserve to be on this team, now I'm letting it out on everybody who doesn't want to give me my credit. So that was a major turning point in his life, not making
stupid
that team.
Stupid 8th grade coach. Could have saved us all a lot of headaches.
So he felt like he deserved it. So he's getting back at every single person now. He's getting back at that coach by criticizing their reviews of him, which I think is funny. You've won a lot of Grammys, the New York Times says. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and Watch the Throne. Neither was nominated for Album of the Year, and I made both of those in 1 year. I don't know if this is statistically right, but I'm assuming I have the most Grammys of anyone my age.
It's easy to look up.
Yeah. I mean, if you're so concerned with your legacy and you want something to brag about, you could Google Grammys. You could go to Grammys.com and find out. Now, I haven't looked, but I'd be willing to bet there are lots of people who have won more Grammys than Kanye has at his age. Stevie Wonder comes to mind as one who I'm certain has, right? Naturally, he brings that up. I've won more than anybody. But I haven't won one against a white person. He then goes on to add.
Now, wait a minute. What does that mean, I haven't won one against a white person? He's been in categories.
I think what...
Like, when he wins Grammys, there's no white people in that category?
Well, I think what he's complaining about here is that his, like, those two albums that I mentioned were nominated for Best Rap Album, but weren't nominated for Album of the Year.
Now, that was, by the way, to me, a ripoff.
I agree, especially Dark Twisted Fantasy. I think that was maybe the best album of that year. You want the historical record to be right, is basically what the interviewer sums it up in there. Yeah. All right, so then they bring up a couple of the other older things that have happened with Kanye, because he doesn't do a lot of interviews, you know, so it's kind of interesting to get his take on some of these things sometimes years after the fact. What about the Taylor Swift interruption at the MTV Video Music Awards? I think we all remember that moment. We don't have to recap that, right?
She had won
an award. He jumped up on stage and basically said, I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had the best album of all time, or whatever it was.
I think it was the best video, whatever the category was that she had just won in, he got up and said, that wasn't the best. Okay, exactly. Here's the mic back.
So the Times asks him about that. Well, it's only led to complete awesomeness at all times.
Now, wait a minute. What was the question?
The instinct that made him go up on stage and interrupt Taylor Swift. What about that? Well, that instinct only led to complete awesomeness at all times. It's only led me to awesome truth and awesomeness. Beauty, truth, awesomeness. That's all it is.
So he makes no mistakes. Because it all leads to awesomeness.
Funny you should ask, Lisa. Follow up. So no regrets? I don't have one regret. Do you believe in the concept of regret? If anyone's reading this, waiting for some type of full-on flat apology for anything, they should stop reading right now. But that is something you apologize for, the interviewer brings up, because remember, he did come out with an apology a couple of days later.
Right.
Kanye now says, yeah, I think that I have, like, faltered, you know, as a human. My message isn't perfectly defined. I have, as a human being, fallen to peer pressure. So is that a situation in which you gave into peer pressure to apologize? Yes. Final question on this. So if you had the choice between taking back the original action or taking back the apology, you'd take back the apology. You know what? I can't answer that. I'm not afraid, but I know that would be a distraction. It's such a strong thing, and people have such a strong feeling about it. Dark Fantasy was my long backhanded apology. You know how people give a backhanded compliment? Well, that was a backhanded apology.
His whole album?
He feels like he's already covered. He's already said everything he has to say about that. But it doesn't. He has no regrets. Who has no regrets in the world?
That's why I don't trust him. That's why I go.
You're not telling the truth.
Yeah, I don't believe. I don't know. I don't believe that anyone has no regrets.
I don't either. I mean, look. I understand the people who say, if you make a mistake, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because you can learn from it and you can become a better person. I understand that there may be a silver lining in making a mistake, but you still have to have some things that you regret, right?
Or you're lying. I think.
A couple more things. We're talking about the Kanye West interview in the New York Times, and then we got the Showbiz Beat.
It's all awesomeness, by the way.
It is all awesomeness. The reviewer asks him about his album 808s and Heartbreak, which was a great album, by the way. But you remember he didn't do much rapping on that. Remember, it was mostly singing.
There's a lot of singing, yeah.
Right. So they said, so the reviewer says, so when you were making the 808 and Heartbreak album, were you like, okay, forget everything that's been expected of me? He says, I wonder if this is true. Yeah, people asked me to change my name for that album. The Times says, like, label people? He said, yes, different people. They said, do it under a different name. And then when it came out, people said, man, I wish it had more rapping on it. But I think the fact that I can't sing that well is what makes 808s so special.
The fact that he can't sing?
Yes. He says he loves the fact that he can't sing. He thinks that's what makes that album so special. That's a way to not have any regrets, by the way. I suck as a singer, but that's what's awesome about me, because it's all about awesomeness. Public versus private. You look at Jay-Z or Diddy, and I'd say like 90% of the time you think they're having a good time. With you, I would say, I don't know, it's maybe 50-50 or 30-70. Kanye says, maybe 90% of the time it looks like I'm not having a good time. What do you think that's about, by the way? I don't know.
Is I mean, it is
true. Remember, saying I'm not having a good time 90%
of the time? He says it looks like he's not having 90% of the time, not having a good time. But remember last week when he had that album release party, it was even in the news that he had smiled. People were so shocked. All right, one more quote. And here's the one that really was headlines everywhere. Kanye says, respect my trend-setting abilities. Once that happens, everyone wins. The world wins. Fresh kids win. Creative wins. The company wins. I think what Kanye West, and I love it when he refers to himself in the third person, I think what Kanye West is going to mean is something similar to what Steve Jobs means. I am undoubtedly, you know, the Steve of the internet, of downtown, of fashion, of culture, period, by a long jump. I honestly feel that because Steve has passed, you know, it's like when Biggie passed and Jay-Z was allowed to become Jay-Z. So he basically is the new Steve Jobs. Is what he's saying.
There's just no connection.
In what way?
At all.
Because of internet and downtown and fashion and culture, period. Come on. It's nothing but awesomeness.
I forgot it's nothing but awesome.
Tired of all the beeping honking? Well, visit StopHonkalism.com, created by 76. It's full of honky games, facts, and other beeping information to help you make your honking ways a thing of the beeping past. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Stop doing that.
Who's with me?
We have a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup on the show today. Bruce Campbell joins us later. Also, Seth Rogen. Ralph Garman is out for one more day filming a movie. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, we are all taking turns filling in on the showbiz beat. And somehow it's Larry Morgan's turn. I don't know how this happened, but hi, Larry. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I was next in line.
Larry is a longtime radio personality here in Southern California. But are you friends with Ralph Garman? Because I thought he hates all people in radio.
Just you, Bean.
Yeah. No. He's never yelled at me the way he's yelled at you, but I don't know if we'd call each other friends, but we passed each other in the 7-Eleven a number of times at 4 in the morning down there in Fairfax, and he was cordial.
Both cursing to yourselves?
Yeah.
Exactly. Trying to figure out how they can get out of this goddamn business. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Larry?
Well, I know you guys talked about this whole Amanda Bynes lashing out at Miley Cyrus thing via Twitter.
Yeah.
Calling her ugly.
She's ugly.
I think the problem we're having here is getting actually the definition of what Amanda Bynes believes ugly means. Because now, if you remember, this whole thing kind of started when she was talking about how ugly Drake. She wanted Drake to murder her vajayjay.
Right.
That's right.
And then referred to him as ugly.
Yes.
Right. About 5 or 6 hours ago, she said, I won't marry, this is Twitter, I won't marry Drake because I want to marry a gorgeous man. Sorry you are ugly, Drake, but I have dated ugly guys before, so you stand a chance. So we're getting in one tweet a really mixed message there.
What does that mean? Yeah. Wow, no kidding. When Amanda Bynes turns on you, first of all, the only thing she has to use against you is that you're ugly, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
But second of all, she went from love to hate, like on a dime. And Drake did nothing, by the way.
That's why she got mad.
Yeah.
Right.
Got no response, right? Right. So, but maybe ugly is a good thing for her. It's like, when bad used to mean good, or
and fat,
P-H-A-T.
You think in Amanda Bynes' case, when
she says ugly,
that's a compliment?
I would take that as a good thing. So I think Miley Cyrus should be fine with that. I think Drake should be cool with
it. Her parents should be happy with it.
All right.
Whatever you do, don't respond to Amanda Bynes ever.
Yeah.
Also, here's some disheartening news. She was tweeting last night about recording a new album, and the report is that Chinga Chang Records has offered Amanda Bynes a record deal.
For rap music. That? Please tell me that's true. For rap album.
We can all cross our fingers, get down on our knees,
so
and pray.
Great.
Demi Moore has a new boy toy. You want to hear about him?
Yeah. Now, how old is she now, Larry? She's got to be into her 50s,
She actually is 50 now.
50. All right.
And she is dating a 30-year-old pearl diver.
Really?
Okay, fill in your own joke.
Really?
Come on. No, he was.
That's his full-time job?
Apparently that, and he was photographed rope climbing, swimming in the ocean, doing push-ups on rocks, and sprinting along the beach in Sydney, Australia this week. Completely oblivious to the fact that photographers were taking snaps the whole time.
Sure.
Right. This is one of those guys who's never been seen with his shirt on, I bet. let me ask you guys let me get the temperature of the room here. There are some people who think it's icky when a 50-year-old man is dating a woman who's, you know, 25, 30 years younger. Does that work in reverse, too, if the woman is the older one and the guy is the young boy toy? Is that also icky, or is that just you go girl?
Not quite as much. I think it depends, because she looks great.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I say you go girl.
Yeah, and my wife hears about situations like this with older woman, younger man. She's like, yeah.
About time. Me feel That's good. How I feel.
Yeah. Right. It's about time.
Yeah. All right. By the way, Demi and Ashton Kutcher have yet to finalize their divorce.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. She's asking for spousal support from him.
He does have a ton of money.
Yeah. Hey, I know you guys are having Seth Rogen in later,
yes.
And he is going to be in a very good mood, so don't ruin it for him by being you.
Okay, well, I can't promise that.
Yeah.
It's mostly for being.
That's what I meant. Thanks for reading into that, Lisa. Apparently, This Is the End has been doing great. It opened, actually, basically last night. It's been having some screenings. It's made already, like, 3 million plus.
Wow.
I'm sorry, 30 million plus, which is about what it cost. So they've already broken even? Yeah. And this is pre-Man of Steel coming up this weekend, which they figured they must have had some major competition with, so they got it out early, and it's doing great. And
the reviews are phenomenal.
The reviews
for this,
are terrific.
Way.
It got a B+ from Cinema Score, 82% positive from Rotten Tomatoes. LA Times raved about it yesterday, and the spoiler alert is about Satan. If you've been hearing about Satan, Satan is very well endowed in this film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Farrah Abraham. Quickly.
Farrah Abramson? Farrah Abramson?
Yeah, exactly. One of those. She is in a textual relationship with Charlie Sheen, according to TMZ.
Textual?
Yes.
She's texting him?
TMZ managed to get Charlie Sheen's text, and here's what she said. And this is all one sentence, so bear with me. Hello, just wanted to say I was excited to meet you. If anger management ends up booking me, IDK, if that will happen. So I just felt like saying you're super funny. I would love to meet you at some point. Now I'm in town a lot, and hopefully soon we'll move to the area, and maybe we can meet up with a play date with our children. Or if you're cool for just coffee and relaxing, let me know.
Wow. That's 140 characters?
Yeah.
Wow. No,
that was all one iPhone
I think that
tweet.
Was a text, Kevin.
Oh,
not
a text.
Tweet.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
And text. And Sheen's response, you sound fabulous. Coffee is for amateurs and grandma. Would love to get together.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing about Charlie, though, is he's a goer. He will nail anyone just for the story.
Yeah.
So he is not at all scared off by Farrah Abraham. The rest of us would run from her.
They kind of have a lot in common, though. That could be a match made
they
in
do.
Heaven.
That's true.
Celebrity birthdays. The Olsen twins are 27 today. Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Talk about people who, I can't believe they're only 27. Can you remember a time in the world before the Olsen twins? Like, haven't they always been around?
Yeah.
Well, they were fetuses when they were on Full House.
That's true. Literally. Yeah, that's true.
Chris Evans, the guy who plays Captain America in his own Captain America movie in the Avengers, is 32 today. Steve-O, who thought he would have made it to 39?
So happy to hear that. Great question.
And healthy.
Yeah. Now, when he hits 40, then I think we all feel like we've got a good shot at this.
Yeah, dude.
Tim Allen, funnier than ever, 60 years old today. You realize he has a show on the actual TV right now?
No, he does?
Yeah, Last Man Standing.
That's on?
I had to look it up.
That's a thing that
exists?
On TV?
It actually is being watched by human beings.
What? You didn't say it was being watched. You just said it was on TV.
No, it keeps coming back.
Oh, all right.
It's like the new Trouble with Jim. Ali Sheedy, the old 80s Brat Pack woman from Breakfast Club, 51 today. Rivers Cuomo of Weezer. 43 today. Happy birthday to Rivers. I'm Larry Morgan in for Ralph Garman, and there is your showbiz.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Thursday. There are lots of ways that you can listen to the show. Of course, you can listen to it live on the radio. You can stream it through krock.com. We appreciate everybody who listens on the podcast. And it's because of the podcast, I think in particular, Kevin, that we get a lot of emails about topics that we discuss on the radio kind of after the fact.
I agree.
It's always fun to kind of catch up with some of those people. For instance, we were doing a topic, I think this one was just yesterday morning, about little things that drive people crazy. Omar just can't stand the font for the NBA Finals on TV.
It never occurred to me whether the font is good or bad.
Well, apparently there are a lot of people who are out there who are just getting ready to blow, and I don't mean that in a good way. I mean they are furious about so many things. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was just listening to your podcast about the things that really annoy me but not other people. What I hate is when people say things like, she shook her head yes. It's so annoying. You shake your head no. You nod yes. I always point that out,
wow.
And everyone thinks I'm crazy for noticing.
You're crazy for noticing.
Oh.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I missed the phone in topic. I'm a podcast listener, but nothing drives me more crazy than when people say I could care less when what they mean is I couldn't care less. I think that one probably has a lot of people who give Aaron some support, right?
That's pretty common. That bugs Bean.
I've worked myself up just thinking about it. I may need to go kick a puppy. Well, don't do that. And one more on this. Things that drive you insane. Marcos writes, hey, Kevin and Bean, I just listened to Tuesday's podcast. I'm positive I'm not alone on this. I can't stand it when somebody stops the microwave and doesn't push clear. Sometimes they leave like 1 second on the timer. Really? You can't wait one more second or push clear? God damn it. Who's with me? Fire beer mug. Sincerely, Mark.
Well, it depends. Who's with you on the microwave? I don't know. Fire beer mug. Seems to be a lot of people with you. Catching up on the podcast, heard Bean's story about the guy that set up a camera in his kitchen to catch what was going on. A moment before Kevin's guess that the girl was having an affair, I guessed the same thing. Not sure how I feel about the fact that I'm starting to think like Kevin. Maybe I need a break from the show.
I would be concerned.
Here's what's funny is that this show has two hosts, neither of whom people are comfortable siding with.
Right.
Nobody wants to side with Bean because of fill in the blank. Nobody wants to side with me because fill in the blank. It's kind of a weird phenomenon.
That's an excellent point. Usually, I thought like on TV shows and movies, you're supposed to have at least one person you can root for. And here, I guess it's just Lisa is the other thing. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Jose writes in, I'm a loyal podcast listener for years now. I just had to share that I was laughing so hard during last week's conversation about Buzz Aldrin. Remember, Buzz was on stage with Thomas Dolby, and he was doing, you know, the spoken word part of She Blinded Me with Science. I was reduced to tears. Over the course of the weekend, I kept randomly laughing out loud uncontrollably at the thought of Buzz when he would say,
silence!
When my wife asked me what I was laughing about, I explained it was a bit from your show, and she just stared at me as if I told her I was from outer space. Fire beer mug, Jose.
Yeah, it's hard to get all of the context. You have to understand it's a 100-year-old astronaut that's trying to say science, and he's saying silence.
She blinded me with science. She blinded me with science.
At least he said science there.
Right.
Silence.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, did I just hear Bean call Kanye Ye? How pressed for time are you guys?
That's his nickname. Come on. Here's a couple on the topic we did recently of you had sex with your friend's mom or dad. Boy, we heard from a lot of people that this happened. I thought this was just like in Letters to the Penthouse Forum. I didn't know this was happening in real life. When I was 18, this is from Patrick. When I was 18, my best friend's mom and I ended up having sex on their couch in their living room while my friend, his little sister, and her husband were all upstairs sleeping.
Wow.
Let me lay that out for you again. He's downstairs with the friend's mom on the couch. Everybody else is upstairs asleep. She started to make a little bit too much noise, so out of fear that her husband would wake up, we moved the party into her convertible in the garage. And by the way, her husband was a police officer. It was definitely
a
moment of
dumbass party.
No kidding.
P.S. Yeah, right, because you're banging a guy's wife while he's in the house asleep, and you know he has a gun. P.S. I went the next morning for seconds before she drove me and my friend to high school.
Wow.
Patrick.
Props.
Hey, guys, here's one on the topic of slept with your friend's parent. A group of friends and I were partying at my friend's mom's house. We stayed up late playing drinking games all night, and the mom had a few drinks with us. Toward the end of the night, the girl who lives in the house came out of the room really drunk with no pants on and sat on my lap. At first, I was freaked out, but still, you know, it was a half-naked girl on my lap. After a few minutes of talking, however, I heard a warm feeling on my leg.
Oh,
you guessed it. She started to pee on me.
No.
I moved. Well, she's drunk. You know how that
can
happen.
Right, but no.
I moved her away, and she went to the bathroom crying. Her mom then came to my aid and helped me dry off my pants and clean me up. And during this whole time, she was flirting with me. After a few passes, she took her top off and got on top of me. Now, this is the second half-naked girl on my lap. I decided it was time to pay the daughter back for peeing on me, so that I did the only thing I could, her mom. Thanks for the time, Popo Zal, Nick.
I'm not sure I buy it, but if so, nice work.
Yeah.
And finally, Sam tweets just these words, very, very short and to the point. He doesn't need 140 characters. It just says, beer mug is fat. Not fire beer mug, nothing else, just beer mug is fat. So we thought maybe it was time again for the hit smash, So Fat by Beer Mug.
So I've been trying to diet right.
Fat.
I've been failing every night.
So
I've been drinking beer instead.
Fat.
I've been eating in my bed.
So
eating in my bed.
Fat.
Mm.
So
oh, yeah. Oh.
Fat.
All my meals are soaked in grease.
So
that will block my arteries.
Fat.
Pour pork rinds are what I want. So, deep fried butter to make me strong. Fat. Then I'll hit the bone. So, I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart. I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart. So, are you gonna finish that? Fat. Are those hash browns fried in fat? So, thick bacon's all I need. Fat. A quarter pounder wrapped in cheese. So, extra mayo is what I please. Fat. Could you put the chili cheese fries on the bun? So, it's gonna give me heart disease. Fat. Fantastic. I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart.
That's so good.
I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart.
Can I get that with three sides of mac and cheese, please?
And soon I'll be 900 pounds. I belong.
Oh no! Oh no! I think I'm having a heart attack. Quick! Somebody get the defibrillator!
Quick reminder, by the way, if you missed it yesterday, Fallout Boy was in the Red Bull Sound Space. We are rebroadcasting that for you at KROQ.com at noon today. You get a chance to see them performing live at the Red Bull Sound Space, doing lots of old and new songs. Pretty great performance, I hear. That's at noon today at KROQ.com, so check it out.
You've heard that if you're playing the lottery, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning.
Yes.
Okay. Everyone said that forever. I find that hard to believe. Does anybody else wonder where they get the statistics from on lightning strikes? I have a better chance of getting hit by... No, I don't know. I'm saying I think it's false.
I believe it.
You do?
Yeah, because I think a lot of people get hit by lightning.
But
you think more people get hit by lightning than win the lottery, so that's why you're saying that... Well,
yeah, I do.
I hadn't really thought... I realize I know very little about lightning strikes. I don't think I've ever been close to being hit by lightning. Kevin, I know you haven't. I want to hear about that in a minute. But this was kind of brought up yesterday because of a story in the Showbiz Beat about Cord Overstreet. You know the actor from Glee.
Mm-hmm.
Who's kind of dreamy with those rich, full, lush
puffy lips.
Yeah.
Easy.
Anyway, his home got hit by lightning and just blew up his chimney in Nashville. And you hear about stuff getting hit by lightning, but I don't hear too many stories about people being hit by lightning. And when I do, it's usually on the golf course. Usually because
that's true.
They're dumbasses who are out there playing golf in a thunderstorm and they just, you know, they got a tee time and they're having too much fun. They won't give it up. So they end up basically inviting
And they have a metal stick in their hand.
Right, exactly.
You're asking for it.
But I was really surprised, and we want to take calls from people. If we have any Kevin and Bean listeners who have ever been hit by lightning, or lightning has come close to you and, like, blown stuff up, we want to hear about that, too. But I was really surprised because this – here's from one article, for instance. The chances of dying from a lightning strike are 1 in 3 million, okay? But the chances of being struck by lightning over an 80-year lifetime are 1 in 10,000.
Those are low
odds.
Let's think of the people that get hit like four times in their life. That happens too.
But this to me says when I saw the
1 in 10,000 chances of me getting hit by lightning?
That's what it says. In the course of your lifetime. That surprised me. That seems like pretty high odds.
That's crazy.
And I also, when I heard that, I thought, well, I guess, and again, this just points to my ignorance about science, I guessed most people who are hit by lightning do not die then.
I think that is true.
That is, I guess that is true. As long as you're grounded, it can go through you, right?
So that's why maybe we have an opportunity to talk to them. Maybe there are, if that's true, then maybe we have listeners who have been hit by lightning. I don't know much about it, but I hear it is no bueno.
No, I can't imagine. It's fun.
Now, when was your near hit, Kevin?
I was backpacking in Colorado, and there was a huge storm, and I went up on top of the mountain because I wanted to see lightning.
Yeah, yes.
And it hit a tree maybe 25 or 30 feet from me and shook the entire mountain like I was just like it was made out of sand.
Did you feel anything physically?
No, but it scared the out of me.
Right.
And I took off running like crazy. Like, that was too close. But I can't imagine that going through your body.
when doctors, or not doctors, when the police and you know the weather people, they say get out of the storm. Be sure to go in when it, you know, go someplace safe.
Right, but in my mind, the odds are infinitesimal. It's like what are the chances just going to hit me? I'm just a little person sitting next to a rock.
Right.
What would attract it to me? Very close, by the way. It almost killed me.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. First time topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have you ever been hit by lightning? First, though, here's a little piece of tape from a man named Jason Marlin. He wrote an article recently called "I Was Struck by Lightning Yesterday, and Boy, Am I Sore." And he did not die, obviously, but here he is describing the sensation.
All of a sudden, you know, I see this bright flash and actually saw the arc of electricity come through the window and right into my chest, right around where my heart's at on the left side there, and knocked me out of the chair and onto the floor where I got up and was, you know, very confused and very juiced up.
Very juiced up.
No wow. kidding. Let's go to Adam real quick. He's on line one to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Adam, were you hit by lightning?
I was. I was actually the guy that tweeted Kevin the other day about being in the car.
Oh, you were driving and the lightning hit your car.
We weren't driving. We were out in like Pomona back in the day, and we pulled into a parking lot to go to a restaurant. And right pretty much as my dad turned off the engine, the lightning hit the car. And it was like in Call of Duty when you throw a flashbang grenade and you get that white, flashy, slow motion sensation.
Right,
like,
right.
It was just like that, like somebody threw it in the car with us. And we had really no idea what happened. Our ears were ringing when it was over. We got out, and the driver's side tire was melted down to the ground, to the rim on the ground.
Oh, my God.
And,
wow.
Every single electrical thing in the car was totally dead. The car wouldn't start at all. We had to get it towed.
Did you feel any of the electricity go through you, or was it just apparently through the car?
No, it just, like, went through the frame, so it didn't, like, hurt any of us. But, it's just, like, it just made us, like, deaf for a little
as
while.
As long as you don't die, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, except you have to pay a lot of money to get a car back from getting hit by lightning. It sounds like that's a lot of damage. What did it cost to get that car up and running?
Oh, I don't know. My dad paid for it. It wasn't my problem.
good man.
What do they say, Adam? Do they say a car is a recommended place to go in a lightning storm?
I think so. I think the Mythbusters even did something on that because of the way the tires are set up. It just goes through the frame, so I think you're totally grounded. As long as you don't have your arm out of the window or something, you should be cool in the car, I think.
Yeah, if you guys had opened the door and started to get out, this could be a very different story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very scary.
It'd be a better story, actually, Adam.
Thanks so much for listening and for calling. We appreciate it. We'll take a break. Tim, Jennifer, Bruce, Augustine, everybody, you guys hang on. Apparently all of our listeners have been hit by lightning. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That is a silent film. The song is You Will Leave a Mark. It is 7:39.
How appropriate. We're playing a song called You Will Leave a Mark. We're talking about getting hit by lightning. Go right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, listen to this. Here's a guy in Croatia on a motorcycle who gets struck in the lightning in the penis, you guys.
What?
His name is Ante Djinjic. He is 29 years old. He's knocked unconscious when lightning strikes his penis during a quick roadside toilet break, as it is described in the article.
Oh.
I don't remember what happened. One minute I was taking a leak, and the next I knew I was in the hospital. Doctor said the lightning went through my body, and because I was wearing rubber boots, it earthed itself. I don't know that term. Earthed itself through my penis. He otherwise was relatively unscathed, suffering only light burns to his chest and arms. The doctors say there will be no lasting effects, and my penis will function normally eventually.
Oh, that's boy. Not the word you want at the end of the sentence.
Let's go to Jennifer. She's on line four. See how her penis is doing. Did you get struck by lightning, Jennifer? What happened, my dear?
Hi, good morning. Hi. Yeah, I was picking up my friend from her house, and in front of her house, she has this giant western sycamore tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting for her to come out, and next thing I knew, like, there was this bright white flash and a crashing noise, and I was stunned for a couple seconds. I was like, what was that? And when I finally, like, realized the tree is on fire.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, probably not cool at the time. But.
Yeah, I was terrified. I didn't know if I should stay in the car or run for my life.
So did you feel any of it also? Did it go through the tree, through the ground, and come up into you?
It didn't, but I definitely felt terrified. Either way.
Well, I imagine.
Of course, yeah. I mean, look, lightning is beautiful and fun to look at from a distance. There's nothing cooler than looking at a lightning storm, but you don't want to be too close to it, that's for sure. All right, thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. Let's go to, where do you want to go, Ken? We got so many in so little time.
Let's do Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave. Hey, guys.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Tell us about getting hit by lightning.
I never got hit, but when I was a kid growing up, our house was hit 3 times in 2 hours.
Your house was hit three times in 2 hours?
Yeah.
Did you have a giant antenna on top or something?
No, back in the day when they used to have telephone poles that were out in the backyard, we had 3 in our backyard. And each one got hit by lightning in the course of 2 hours.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
We got hit the first time, and then we thought it was an earthquake, so we ran out in the backyard, out the house, and the telephone pole was on fire. And then, you know, we're like, okay, so we went back to bed, and about 20 minutes later, it hit the other telephone pole in the backyard. And we went back to bed. About an hour later, it hit the transformer on the telephone, the third telephone pole in the backyard. And all the lines were bouncing around in the backyard and sparks were flying.
How come it's Dave? Gosh. He just goes back to bed.
Right.
Yeah, after like lightning strikes.
I was 14 years old. So.
And God already hated you and your family, though. That's what's amazing. All right. Apparently. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Roger. He's online, too. I think Roger may involve losing body parts to lightning. Is that true, Roger?
All right.
Santa Monica!
No, yeah! See, no.
Lightning, fools! You just got hit by lightning!
No, that's a fake, Bean. That guy's fake. That's not the real Santa Monica guy.
Oh, of course it's not, but it still makes me laugh. Let's go to Bruce. Bruce is on line 6. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bruce, we're talking about people who get hit by lightning. These statistics are troubling. We hear that we run report this morning that you have a 1 in 10,000 chance of being hit by lightning if you live to be 80, and that scares us a little bit. Did it happen to you?
Yeah, it actually did. Morning, Kevin, Dean, Hayes,
man. How are you? Hi there.
What happened?
Okay, so I grew up in Colorado. One day it starts raining a little bit. My truck's parked outside, so I go out to roll up the windows on my truck. I'm parked under a big elm tree. As soon as I touched the door, my truck opened up and rolled up the windows. I got hit. It hit me in the tree and the truck at the same time.
Wow.
So what did it do to you? What did it feel like?
The best way to describe it, if you ever played sports or if you've ever been knocked out, that's what it felt like. It felt like someone hit me really hard. And knocked me to the ground.
Just knocked you out.
I've been shocked a couple times where I've plugged something in and has this ever happened to you guys where your finger kind of gets caught between the plug and the outlet on the wall and you get a burst of electricity in your hand?
I've been shocked unconscious.
Have you?
Have you really?
That's a story for a different day.
I mean, electricity is badass. It really can hurt. It can F you up too. Thank you, Bruce. Let's do one more. How about Teresa on line 1? This sounds like a lot of crying girls in your story, Teresa. What's going on?
Good morning, Kevin and me, and Lisa May.
Good morning.
You got hit by lightning?
Yes, we all were directly hit, all 8 of us.
Who's we all? What 8?
We were 8 years old. We had a softball game. It started to rain. The coach told us to go under the tree. Lightning struck the tree and struck all of us.
All 8 of you?
All 8 of us.
And what do you remember about it? I mean, what did it do to you? Knock you to the ground? Did you?
It knocked
what happened?
Us to the ground. When it struck me, it felt everything was blurry, my hearing, my vision, and I fell straight to the ground, and it felt like 2 hours before I hit the ground. And then when it came out, my feet were paralyzed, my arm was all black, I had third-degree burns.
Oh, wow.
It smelled really terrible. And my mom saw it happen when she went to pick me up, and she said we looked like a bunch of bowling pins just splatting all together. Like it happened so
oh, my
fast.
God. Imagine that.
Did you guys have to forfeit the game?
I think so. I think
no, they went back
one.
Out and played.
we originally called the waves, and after we all recovered, we were called the shock waves.
Yeah,
there you go. All right. Well, I'm glad you're okay. Thanks so much for the call. So what do we decide here? Don't get hit by lightning? That's best?
Sounds fun to me.
The great Bruce Campbell joins us right after the top of the hour. Got a brand new internet roundup for you. Also, Dr. Drew on the show today and Seth Rogen in the 9 o'clock hour. First, though, Ralph Garman's out for one more day filming his movie. He'll be back tomorrow. We're taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat. It's Larry Morgan's turn. Hi, Larry.
Hi, everybody.
What's going on?
With me personally, or do I just get right into it?
I don't Showbiz.
We
I
don't
think.
Really care about you.
Because I'm feeling a little gassy.
Nope.
And,
maybe it's too much coffee. And
no
I
interest
really
there.
Need to go pee.
Show we already world. Have that position of too much body function going on, covered by beer mug. He Understood. Handles that in this studio.
No so. Boy, no kidding. So Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
We haven't heard from her in a bit.
Yeah. Right? Now she's still in rehab, and by all accounts, is like playing by the rules this time. Right.
Well, she has checked out of the Betty Ford Treatment Center in near Palm Springs.
Okay, so just the opposite of what we thought.
Is there time out?
Hold on. In order to enter the Cliffside Rehab Center in Malibu. So she's upgrading, I guess.
So she's going to a different one again?
Yeah, and this was all approved by everybody. It wasn't some sort of thing she pulled on her own. They figured that the Betty Ford clinic is better suited for a 30-day program, which she's completed, and she'd be better off completing the remainder of her 90-day deal at the new place in Malibu.
So she asked permission first?
It looks like she actually went through the process of doing things the right way.
But I thought we were talking about Lindsay Lohan.
Well, let me double check. Yes,
we are.
Definitely is Lindsay Lohan. Huh.
Do you guys think that any of this is going to stick? In other words, how long after rehab, when she's finally done and she's clear with the court and she doesn't have to worry about going to jail, are we going to see her just face down in a bar drunk?
You know, it all depends on whether she's willing to get rid of her friends.
Yep, it's all the people around her. Yeah. I agree. When I saw her on Letterman just maybe a month or so ago, she just was clueless. She didn't apologize for her behavior or didn't say, you know, and he was like a grandpa the whole time.
He was.
You are going to go, aren't you? You are going to go in. You're going to stay this time, right? She was highly annoyed by that.
I mean, you kind of do, you know, from what little I know about addiction is mostly just from, you know, knowing Dr. Drew all these years, but you really do kind of have to commit to it after you get out of rehab and, like, make it the focus of your life, and she hasn't been willing to do that.
No. So, what do you think Dwight Howard's doing while he's, you know, hanging out in this office?
Sure has had a lot of time.
Yeah.
That season Lakers ended. Have been off since March.
Yep. Well, he managed to find the time to get himself busy with a new movie. He is joining the voice cast of an animated film from Relativity and Real FX called Free Birds, in which he plays a turkey with the name Cold Turkey.
Wow.
Yeah. He's
going to be Cold Turkey in a movie.
He's going to be Cold Turkey in a movie that features Owen Wilson, the voices of Owen Wilson, Woody Harrelson, Amy Poehler, and George Takei.
But isn't he begging for his new NBA nickname to be Cold Turkey when he comes back every time he misses a layup?
He's Cold Turkey now, right? Absolutely.
Cold Turkey on the free throw line.
By the way, here's the plot line. It's just this old story again. Two turkeys from opposite sides of the tracks must put aside their differences and team up to travel back in time to change the course of history and get turkey off the holiday menu.
That does not exist. What you just said is fiction and does not exist in this world.
Right. It's on the internet. It has to be true.
Wow. I'm just glad to see an NBA player just doing a voice for a change, because it generally doesn't work out too well if they decide they can act.
Yeah.
At least you got a little bit of cover if you're just doing a voice.
Just, kids, go watch Space Jam for reference on that.
Yeah.
Kate Upton in a skimpy white hot bikini. I don't have a story. I just wanted to
just
say
that. That's all right.
No, there are. If you, all you have to do is pull up the internet and maybe click around for like 5 seconds, and you will see this.
Not that I know.
Picture.
What picture you're referring to, but superficial.com. Back to you.
It's actually about 1,000 other websites this time. Okay. Yeah, she's on the beach. It barely matters where. She's clad in a white bikini that she can barely stay in, which is pretty much anything she ever wears.
She's having a hard time keeping it on.
She's doing. She's co-starring with this guy from Game of Thrones. I'm going to mess up his name, but Kevin, you want to try it?
Nope.
Nicolaj Coster-Waldau. Do we know who that is?
I think he might be one of the newest guys, right, Bean?
He's one of the main stars of Game of Thrones. I don't watch the show, but I know the ladies love him. And apparently Kate Upton does, too.
And he's still alive in the show?
Alive, yes.
All right. It's a comedy with Kate Upton in a bikini with that guy and Cameron Diaz.
He's playing Jamie Lannister, I'm being told.
All right. There we go.
I know who he is, yeah.
Anyway, she
don't
can barely,
care.
Yeah, she can barely stay in her bikini.
When does the movie come out?
Hot.
2014.
Come on.
It's called The Other Woman. So you just have to keep staring at that picture.
All right.
I do have an update for you, Kevin, on the Amanda Bynes question. You know, she's going through this Twitter rant on the people that she considers ugly.
Right.
Most recently, Miley Cyrus. And there is another list of them. A site has compiled, actually, the people she's referred to as ugly that include Rihanna, Sports Illustrated swimsuit model Chrissy Teigen.
That's right.
Jenny McCarthy.
Okay.
RuPaul.
Right.
Lance Bass.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney Love.
Right.
And Perez Hilton is an ugly bully. Do
okay.
we agree? That talk about all across the board there. There's nothing consistent about that list of people at all.
Do you?
It's just. Do you look at that and are you standing by your theory that when she says ugly, it's somehow a compliment?
I am standing by my theory that Amanda Bynes is wacko.
Okay, all right. We can all agree on that.
We have confirmed that Chinga Chang Records, that she has apparently signed a deal with, is a hip-hop slash rap
label. Oh, please,
label.
God, please, God.
That's
please.
What I'm talking about.
Please let her rap.
She is ready to record. And, we'll go to celebrity birthdays. I'm done. I'm tired.
Wow, you only did
you have done it twice.
You must be exhausted.
Well, somebody's giving me.
What a heavy schedule.
Somebody's given. You want me to talk about Farrah Abrahamson again?
Nope.
All right. Siegfried Fischbacher is 74 today.
That's she is great.
That is the non-Tiger Mold part of the duo of Siegfried and Roy.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And they are no longer performing, but they still have a fabulous website if you want to go look at pictures of tigers. It's great. Olsen twins are both 27 today. Mary-Kate and Ashley. Also a website with a bunch of pictures of tigers, as it turns out.
Weird.
That's weird. Steve-O made it to 39 years old today.
On.
Congratulations.
Yes. Very excited about that.
How do you think he's celebrating?
Yeah, dude.
Tim Allen still doing the, I think probably just doing it in his bathroom by himself. He's 60 years old today. He is on TV. There is a show that exists.
We just don't get it.
On the television. Ali Sheedy, one of the 80s Brat Pack people, 51. Rivers Cuomo from Weezer is 43 today. Happy birthday, everybody. I'm Larry Morgan in for Ralph Garman. There's your showbiz.
Want to go to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil on K-Rock's dime? You can. Muse, Metallica, 30 Seconds to Mars, Offspring, and more, all part of K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination Number 4, which is the Rock and Rio Festival. Give you a chance to stand by boarding list that on at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. You can get details at krock.com. Remember the last time we had our man Bruce Campbell on? He was telling us how much we were going to love Evil Dead?
I do.
Yes.
He didn't lie.
We did.
Bruce, you guys hit a home run with that. That was terrific, dude.
Thanks. I'll see you guys later.
All right. Bye-bye now. And now he is back telling us that we do not want to miss the final season of Burn Notice on the USA Network. It came back for season number 7 last week. It's on again tonight, episode 2. So, Bruce, you're winding down. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's kind of like this. So it's a little manic over here right
so
now.
So a little happy, a little sad.
Yeah, you've heard the term senioritis.
Sure.
Well, that's us right now.
Right.
But it's only because we're it's like speedballing, kind of.
Okay.
Only for kids.
Okay.
You know, we're happy and
right
sad.
Now?
We're happy that we got to 100 episodes. So tonight is the 100th episode. Directed by none other than the star, Jeffrey Donovan.
Yeah, let me talk about that for a second. It must be weird to be cast members, and I know he's directed before, but
yeah,
it must be weird to be cast members on a show. It looks like you guys probably hang out and have a good time, you know, off screen.
Except when he directs.
And then when he directs, is it like, hey, you guys have to listen to me now? And you're like, F you?
No, we never really listen to him, but we have to pretend to.
Right.
So
make him
like,
think
hey,
he's in charge.
Mark? I'm like, yeah, okay, if I feel like it. No, it's fine. He's actually, the nice thing is, an actor knows what to say to actors.
Right.
Sometimes you get a technocrat in there, and they don't know what to say to a sentient being. So it was good. I think you'll actually like the episode. It might not even suck.
Okay, wow, really?
Oh, I'm
hold on. You're going on record now, and you're saying tonight's
it
Burn
might
Notice.
Not. It's, I said might.
I have,
might not even
it
suck.
Might not even suck. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how did it come down to you all these seasons in that mm-hmm. this was going to be the final season? Like, how do they break news
well,
like
I
that?
I decided that I'd had enough.
I don't.
Nope. So you called
not
it.
How it worked, Bruce.
I don't
there's
think
only
that's
so much sun you can soak up in 7
that's,
years.
That's not the case.
No. Basically, I think what it is every show has its run, and this is a very plot heavy show. And it seemed like a logical place to wind it all up, starting with last year when everything kind of went off the rails last year.
Right.
We stopped following the same sort of formula. And
you started killing people off, too. That was another way.
Well, people, they do die on our show.
Occasionally.
For very good reasons.
Sure.
But it seemed like time to wrap it up. And 7 years for a show is actually pretty, you know, we're old now. You know, so that put us out to pasture. But it's been a very good run. And this way, the nice thing is we knew early enough that the writers can all figure out a really cool way to wrap this up. You know, it wasn't a last-minute thing where I've been on shows that got canceled in the off-season, so we never even got to say goodbye to the cast members. So I think the audiences will be very satisfied this year because they can finally answer all those pending questions. No more
Bruce,
stringing
along. Do you have to go get that call? Do you need us to hold on for a second?
No, I'm in a church on location in Miami, and they're running their daily business.
Okay.
So if you'd like to send some money, no problem.
Will you go light a prayer candle for Kevin and Bean before you leave that church today?
I will do that, and it might just burn the place down, unfortunately.
So. Well, there are plenty of places burning and exploding on your show, so it would fit right in.
It's true. We've blown up many buildings in Miami.
Yeah. And by the way, on last week's episode, when the you know the one where you open up the rigged door and everything like that, and you have to jump away from it. I mean, look, I don't know anything about how TV works, but that looked like you were pretty close to fire, Bruce.
Well, you know, they do blow crap up all around us.
Right.
And the nice thing is all of these four-fingered special effects guys are really good at explosives.
Yeah.
You know? They really are, because they know they have to try not to kill one of the lead actors.
Right.
Sometimes that has to come a little closer than you would hope.
It does. It does. And I can't give any trade secrets away, because otherwise I would have to kill you all.
How many fingers do you have?
I have about nine.
Nine.
A little close.
About nine.
All right. This is the voice of Bruce Campbell here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Burn Notice, which, of course, is Thursday nights on the USA Network. They're in season 7 now, a new episode tonight. Let me ask you a couple more things, Bruce. First of all, I laugh. Is the show set in Miami because it gives you the opportunity to put lots of hot chicks in bikinis in every single episode?
You know, it was originally set in New Jersey, for God's sake.
What?
Yeah.
What a terrible idea.
It was a weirder, darker show then, and USA has more of a blue sky policy. They want the glass half full.
Right.
And so Miami really is, if you're going to have a spy show with international creepazoids coming and going, Miami is the place.
But it's but being incredibly gratuitous, though. Incredibly so. And I want to commend you for that.
Well, look, on the call sheet, you know, the little worksheet we get every day that lets us know what's happening, they have the amount of extras, and then they'll have a separate category called hotties.
Sweet.
And you know it's going to be a good day if there's about 10 hotties running around. Well, and Jeffrey Donovan, who frankly is a little bit of a pervert.
Is that right?
Yeah, his line to me is when one of them walks by, he'll go, "What's going on there?"
That's funny. We have the same code.
Yeah. I'll say, "What's up with that?
What's up with that?" Sure.
Can I add? Can you? You can add to the rotation. How's that going? Too is another good one you could use.
Thank you. Donovan's going to be so happy.
All right. Let me ask you.
What was that again?
How's that going?
How's that going? Yeah. Nice. See? Thank you.
Now we're all pervs. Thanks, Bruce. All right. Let me ask you one more thing. Because the show is action heavy, people get invested in the drama and your character stuff. Do you also have those people who watch the show because of the relationships? Like, do chicks come up to you and go, "Oh my God, when are you getting back together with Fiona?" and stuff like that?
Chicks like the relationship stuff. Guys like things just to blow up and shoot guns.
And so it's got something for everybody.
It does.
It's kind of that simple. Yeah. You know, when I wrote a book, I wrote an autobiography, and I started to get more women showing up at book signings because they were like, "I didn't know he could speak." You know, so you open up new dimensions to yourself, and it's important because you want to get a big audience, right?
Of course.
You want to get everybody, a little something for everybody.
Of course. Well, the show is super fun, you guys. You should definitely be watching it now in its final season. Of course, you can get all of the old seasons. You can get them, you know, on demand, DVD, the whole deal. It's worth catching up on, too. It's called Burn Notice. It airs Thursday nights on the USA Network. New episode tonight at 9. Bruce, you know we love you here on the Kevin Amin Show. It's always great to talk to you, my friend.
Be there, be square, keep copping a perv.
How's it going?
How's that going?
Hey, how's that going?
I have a serious question. This isn't just me running my mouth. I really want to know, what did we used to do with our time before the internet?
I don't know. I can't remember before YouTube, for example. I just can't remember.
Either. I mean, it's just, it's insane. It's insane how much stuff there is that sucks up the time. And we are definitely contributing to it because every week we round up the best viral videos of the week and we put it together in one handy dandy place at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com. We call it the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Now, we won't have
time to spotlight all of these. The new Lonely Island video is great. P. Diddy is in it, Paul Rudd, Robin. It's very cool. We love those guys. You definitely want to check that out. And we don't have time to spotlight the naked guy who goes crazy in the San Francisco BART station. He's a circus acrobat, that guy. And it's unbelievable, the flips and everything he's doing through the BART station. And
naked?
Just the completely naked. The people just standing there, just they don't know what to make of it. But you definitely have to see that video. First, though, Kevin, this one is right after your own heart. Here's a kid. And, you know, thanks to YouTube, kids are always doing dumb stuff so they can film it and put it up. He basically is standing out in the middle of the street and cars go by and he jumps onto the hood and jumps over the car as they hit him. And in this particular case, he lands on his feet after going over a car that hits him.
Now, are we saying don't do this at home or do
We're
this?
Absolutely saying okay. Don't do this.
All right.
Oh my God. I just cracked your windshield, though. I'm paying for it.
I can't drive. I can't see anything.
But if you do it, put it up on YouTube. Right, we're also saying. Somebody has made a very funny parody of what the TV show on HBO, Girls, the one starring Lena Dunham, is going to be like. It's all about those 20-something girls in Brooklyn who are always having sex with everybody.
Right.
What's that show going to be like if they're still doing it when they're 60 in season 38?
Wow. I couldn't hear that because my hearing aids are all for this insane party I went to in Bushwick, but I'm guessing it was super hostile from that ugly Percy thing you did with your lips when you said it.
That's not true. I am very beautiful all of the time.
Except when you do that thing that makes your mouth look like an asshole.
That's, I think, Marnie and Hannah still fighting with each other. Very funny. Samuel L. Jackson is doing an awesome thing where it's like a Kickstarter campaign where you contribute him money and then he does stuff for you as little gifts for his fans. He's raising money, I think, for the Alzheimer's Association. And one of the things that he did, if he got to a certain amount of money, is he would do a monologue of your choice, I want to say. And somebody chose the monologue of Walter White from Breaking Bad. So here's what it would sound like if Sam Jackson were doing Breaking Bad.
I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
Isn't everything better when Sam Jackson?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry to say that Game of Thrones is gone for the season, so this is going to be the last of our Gay of Thrones recaps on the Internet Roundup.
He goes out to Capital City, Selena, and he's all like, look, bitch, take these f***ing diamonds, go to a land far, far away and be super f***ing fabulous. And she's like, you know what? Take this f***ing bag of diamonds, shove them up your f***ing mono-wearing
right. Get Lucky by Daft Punk is one of the biggest songs all over the world. And this guy named PV Nova did an awesome thing where he imagined what that song would sound like through the decades. And by that, I mean, if Get Lucky had been a song in the 20s and then in the 30s and then in the 40s and then in the 50s, all the different musical styles are incorporated. And it's kind of an awesome mega mix. Pretty cool, right? It's like 10 remakes in a row of Get Lucky. Very funny. Well, Man of Steel is opening this weekend. As you know, and our friends at Honest Trailers do what they do. They went back to a previous Superman film, and they told us what they should have told us at the time about Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Watch as Lex and Ducky from Pretty in Pink easily cut Superman's indestructible hair, strap it onto a missile, and launch it into the sun to inexplicably create Nuclear Man.
By the way, when Honest Trailers gets a hold of your movie, it doesn't matter how good your movie is,
correct,
they can figure out a way to make it dumb,
yeah,
right?
Correct, yeah.
Up next to the Kevin Beat Internet Roundup, we love Brian Williams. He's the anchor of the NBC Nightly News. He goes on and slow jams the news, as you know, sometimes with Jimmy Fallon. Well, this time, I don't know what, I didn't see the setup for this, but for some reason, Brian Williams, respected newsman, is doing Warren G's Regulate. Check it out.
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the eve so I could get some funk ruling in my ride. Chilling all along, just hit the east side of the LBC on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak on you skirts, no, it's up with 213.
Apparently, they added him to be the world's greatest rapper. That's awesome. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel, of course, does late nights on ABC. He has a whole thing that he does from time to time where celebrities read mean tweets about themselves. Well, since the NBA finals are on ABC, Jimmy decided to do that with actual NBA players. It's very funny.
What's the difference between Ron Artest and Made a World Peace? Nothing. They are both huge pieces of
Blake Griffin is still ugly as
Andre Iguodala sucks gazelle.
DeAndre Jordan doesn't look like he knows how to read. Well, I just read that, you idiot.
And finally, Seth Rogen is coming in next hour talking about his awesome new movie called This Is the End that he co-wrote and co-directed. One of the amazing promo clips that they've done for this end of the world film is they kind of imagined all the characters in that movie, you know, Danny McBride and Michael Cera and everybody, as if they were in the real world. And they did it as a trailer for MTV's The Real World. It's awesome.
Who left the toilet seat up?
Oh, not me.
Who left the toilet seat up?
I didn't leave the toilet seat up. I never even pick it up.
Jay, looking guilty as a mother F. You know I pee sitting down.
I don't know why Franco pees with the toilet seat down, but I respect his wishes.
If you sprinkle when you tinkle, be a sweetie and wipe the CD. I'm going to go finish up.
Doesn't like it. That was a pretty dope limerick, though.
The whole video is so awesome. You can see all of these and so much more at KevinAmin.com. It's a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bain's Internet Roundup.
Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6 p.m. And, of course, drdrew.com and podcast1.com for all that stuff. He's on the phone with us right now on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Also, didn't you say being the bachelor?
And, of course, yes, you are the bachelor because of the hotties that you bring on the HLN show. All the experts on CNN are somehow supermodels or beauty pageants. I don't know why. Hey, can you get me on this Trayvon Martin jury, by the way? That looks like it's going to be fun.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Oh, how
can awful. You imagine? That's yeah. all. That's what you're going to be all about for the next 3 months, right?
You know what? I'm hoping not to be, I must tell you, because I just don't see any upside to anybody. This is going to be a really difficult case. And
I know, but you could single-handedly start a race war in America if you fan the flames hard. Hard enough, Drew.
If that were my intention, you're absolutely correct.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. Shit is going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
Drew, you've got a lot of power there.
Me and Hart Cartman.
You and Cartman.
Right. All right. Let's talk about a medical issue. And I know this is something that has been near and dear to your heart, but it is back in the news this week. And that is Plan B, the Plan B pill, which is emergency contraception for women. First of all, tell us what it is and what it isn't medically, Doc, and then we'll talk about why it's back in the news.
What it is not is an abortion pill. What mm-hmm. it is a dose of progesterone, very similar to what you take in a birth control pill that you take every day, and works precisely the same manner. The mechanism is exactly the same as the pill you take every day. The reason it's not as effective is you're taking it after a contact, and if you had already ovulated, you're going to get pregnant. If you've not ovulated, it will suppress ovulation and prevent pregnancy. If you take it within 24 hours, about 90% efficacy. Within 2 days, about 80%.
Wow.
And within
wow.
3 days, about 70%. Reasons.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So people who don't want to get pregnant take this pill so that they don't get pregnant.
So
who could be against that? I guess is my question.
Right. Well, it was politicized for a long time. A, because people don't study science, damn it. And for 10 years ago, I would say, please read the science. Decide for yourself. It's clear how this pill works. It doesn't prevent implantation. Maybe a theoretic possibility, just the way, by the way, your pill you take every day.
Right.
If you were gonna have a powerful argument against that mechanism, you'd have to say all hormonal contraceptives are off. And that's a viable position to take, by the way. But it's, from a prudent standpoint, absurd.
Do you need a prescription at all to get it?
Not anymore.
And what you okay. need,
it was before, it was behind the pharmacy counter, so only accessible during pharmacy hours. And every hour that passes, the efficacy of the pill drops. So now, ladies and gentlemen,
and this is why it's back in the news.
It's in the news because it will be available just on the counter to all ages.
Excellent.
So select next to the condoms. You can reach up, grab it, and go.
What about the argument that you always hear, and I don't really fully understand this, to be honest, is that we're just encouraging kids to have sex.
Well, I know that's your just like my desire to have a race war, Kevin, your desire, of course, to have all teenagers.
No, no, I'm saying I don't understand that.
This pill is expensive.
I don't understand that viewpoint.
Well, it is a purely ideological viewpoint, and I have to tell you, if there was any evidence, I mean any evidence, that this, in fact, drove teen pregnancy rates, I would not be in favor of it being available. But the fact is, and the overwhelming evidence is, quite the contrary. Teen pregnancy rate is dropping in this country. Kids are using this properly. And worldwide, this drug has less side effect and less serious problems than Tylenol. It measures up against Tylenol in terms of its side effect profile. So there's just no argument against it. There just isn't. It's so, just people who decided that for some reason we shouldn't be talking to kids about sex at all, and we should be clamping down everything about teen sexuality, including condoms, I'm sure.
This is this is the teach abstinence only crowd in school. Then that's these people, right? Which is, if kids know anything about sex, then they're going to go out and do it more because you've given them knowledge.
The data suggests completely the contrary. And since this has been depoliticized, and since sex education has been more prevalent, since there's been a public discourse about it, guess what? Pregnancy rates are dropping.
All right, let me throw one more wrench into the mix here, Dr. Drew, and that is, what about the parents who say, I don't want my 15-year-old daughter going in and buying this pill and doing this without my knowledge or without me being able to advise her? Is that legitimate?
That is legitimate, absolutely, and parents need to do their parenting job, and if this makes parenting more difficult, I don't think it does. I think your job, it's any more than you would say, I don't want my child to be sexually active, so what, please don't use condoms? I don't know. Whatever. These are all parenting choices. However they choose to do it, they still can parent. Just because that it's available now on the shelf as opposed to behind the pharmacy, I don't think really is going to trample on parents.
I would think as a parent you'd be more worried about teen pregnancy than you would this.
I would think. But again, I'm not going to – my job is not to tell people how to parent and what choices they make. That really is a personal choice, and God bless everybody for making their choices. There are enlightened ways. You can look at the data that help you guide you on how you should parent. But still, parenting choices are individual. And I don't see where this is trampling on your rights. It does make it more accessible, but you can tell your kid. You could not give them money. You could tell them not to do it. You can have consequences for them buying the pill. That's what parenting is about.
All right, this is the voice of Dr. Drew Pinsky here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the Plan B. But now let's move on to something even more important, and I think even more widespread, and that is apparently eyeball licking is now a thing, Dr. Drew.
Well, ever since people discovered that squeezing a toad and licking its eyeball will make you high, it makes sense that eyeballs are being licked across the animal kingdom.
This is crazy that this exists.
Crazy. And the fact is that your mouth is full of enzymes and things that can irritate the eye, not to mention viruses can be passed. So you can get eye infections this way. By the way, there's such a thing as chlamydia and gonorrhea of the eye and chlamydia and gonorrhea of the throat.
Not want chlamydia of the eye. I think we can all agree on that.
I love Beans giggling like, the bullseye. Fantastic.
Here's what I don't understand when we were talking about this earlier. Apparently, this is happening all over the world, but particularly in Japan, they have noticed it, and it's starting to be written about because of the outbreak of pink eye, exactly what you're talking about with infection. Someone puts a tongue on your eye, bad things can happen. But how does it feel good, Dr. Drew, besides the intimacy of a person touching you? How does it feel good? There's nothing in an eyeball that would feel good like your skin would, right?
Not that I can think of. I put contacts in once in a while. That doesn't exactly turn me on.
No, it feels anything that touches your eye, you freak out.
You freak out. There's actually a corneal reflex where you blink and stuff. But maybe there's something about French maid outfits and eye licking. They go together.
No.
Well, we learned this morning that it's apparently called oculolinctus or worming. Apparently the slang is worming. You either the wormer or the wormy, I guess.
Oculingus. That's awesome.
Oculolinctus. Yes.
So Dr. Drew is on board with it then?
Of course.
All right. DrDrew.com and podcast1.com.
Put instructions up next to the morning after pill.
Exactly. All the great Dr. Drew podcasts and, of course, the Adam and Dr. Drew Show podcast as well. HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6 and then Sunday through Thursday nights here on K-Rock. Thanks, Doc. Enjoyed talking
to you. Thanks, guys.
Seth Rogen joins us in studio after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And a quick programming note, at noon today, KROQ.com, you can see the Fallout Boy concert. That was happening yesterday in the Red Bull Sound Space here at KROQ. Our man Ted Stryker was there, kind of hosting the event, talking to the guys, watching him play live. Ted joins us now in for the show bespeak. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning. You know, it's great to see one of the best Kevin and Bean guests of all time at the Red Bull Sound Space yesterday watching. And that would be Kevin Smith was there.
Yes.
He was checking it out. He's with his family watching Fall Out Boy. I like that.
Yeah.
How were they, by the way?
Kevin Smith and his family were great.
No, no, no. And the reason I ask you, because this is a group that kind of disbanded. They were gone for a long time, and then it seemed like people were really excited that they came back. I mean, really welcome to back. This new album selling well. How do they sound?
They sounded fantastic. They look better than they've ever looked, sounded better than they've ever sounded. And I am amazed, and it's not because of talent or anything, but to go away and come back and sell this many records and
that's
sell out
saying.
Every single show across the U.S. They sold out in minutes.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It's huge. It's
amazing.
Huge for them.
Well, if you missed it yesterday, Red Bull Sound Space is a fantastic place to see a show, and Fall Out Boy apparently were great guests. And Ted, I'm sure you did a wonderful job with the hosting. So that'll be at noon today at KROQ.com. What else is going on right now?
All right. First off, I have a giveaway right now. Callers 10 through 14 to KROQ. I'm going to give you a pair of passes to the KROQ screening of World War Z, which is on Tuesday, yeah! June 18th. At the ArcLight Hollywood, World War Z is in theaters on Friday, June 21st, starring Brad Pitt, who is the best eater and actor at the same time. Do you notice in every single movie he is eating at the same time?
He's always eating.
And he does great at it.
I know. That's a talent.
How about 90210? That is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. I've seen every episode when I was a younger human being.
Wait, hold on. Wait. What's happening?
Hello?
What's happening?
I think you lost us.
I'm sorry.
How about 90210 was your question?
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of the greatest shows of all time.
All right.
TV shows.
Let's say it is. Go ahead.
Okay. I have two bits of news regarding actors from that show.
Okay.
And since for Jenny Garth and Peter Facinelli, who's a huge actor, they are now officially divorced, and it was a very nice divorce. They split everything equally. But then we move on to the great Ian Ziering, who played Steve Sanders on 90210. Uh-huh. He is now a stripper.
Right.
What?
Right. So I would like to, I don't have free tickets or anything, but I would like to invite everyone to go see Ian Ziering strip for Chippendales at the Rio in Las Vegas.
Is he a,
anyone?
Like a headliner?
Yes.
The way that porn stars headline in clubs?
I don't
or
know
is he there
means.
All the time?
He's there all the time. He wears
so it's
a
just his job, then.
What?
That is his
That's
job.
That's his job.
Yes. That is his job.
I'm going there next weekend.
Joey Tata is now part of the other one. Do you know who Joey Tata is?
Yeah, he was the guy who ran the Peach Pit.
That's right. That is Nat. He's 92, and he dances for Thunder from Down Under now. All right. This is great news for K-Rock music and a band that I love. Queens of the Stone Age finally have a number one album. The
it's
latest
so
offering, Like Clockwork, debuts.
It is so good.
Yeah, it debuts at the top spot on the Billboard 200 this week. It's number one. It sold 91,000 copies in week number one. Very
That's
impressive.
Kind of a weak first week, but the fact that it's number one, more power to them.
More power to them, but in this day and age, selling 90,000 a week, I think any band would take that any day.
And if you like our station, you haven't heard that yet, you should check it out. It's great.
It's a great album. You know, Elton John, who plays piano on that one track, Fairweather Friends, he came out in an interview last week. He loves Queens of the Stone Age. I mean, he's the one who contacted them and said, I want to be on your record. He said he thinks it's the best rock album of the last 5 years.
Wow.
That's pretty good endorsement from a guy like Elton, who's such a big music fan.
Elton John is actually on the new Fallout Boy record as well.
What?
Yep. So is Courtney Love.
What?
Daft Punk came in at number two this past week. Imagine Dragons, another K-Rock band, in at number seven. Who's got the most pull, Kevin, from Kevin and Bean at Staples Center for a Lakers game?
Who would it be? Jack Nicholson.
That is correct, sir.
Yeah.
So Maria Menounos and Bean's favorite comedian of all time, Dane Cook, were at a game together in 2010. They were screaming for the Boston Celtics, going nuts.
Yeah, she's
Next thing you know, Maria... So and Dane were booted from their seats, and the reason why they were booted was Jack Nicholson, who sits 26 feet away from 10 Lakers who were trained to shoot baskets, had them removed from the seats, and he let them know about it.
That is the best thing I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about Twitter and what has been tweeted the most, because this was shocking to me. Of all time in the history of television, the most tweeted premiere while it was happening... was AMC's The Walking Dead last February.
Oh, is that right?
Well, a show just premiered in its fourth season on ABC Family, and it had 3 million viewers, but it's the most tweeted season premiere of all time. Can anybody even come close to naming the show?
On ABC Family?
On ABC Family.
I don't even know what shows are on ABC Family.
I don't either. Is that the only show I've ever heard of, and I don't think it's still on anymore, is that one about the American teenager? That's Secret Life of the American Teenager is the only show I think I've ever heard of on ABC Family. No, but that's not it anymore.
This show that I'm speaking of, and I say right off the top of my head, it's four friends that band together against an anonymous foe who threatens to reveal their darkest secrets while unraveling the mystery of the murder of their best friend. Of course, that's Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, right. Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show so much. I think girls are so hot on that show.
Celebrating a birthday today, Siegfried from Siegfried and Roy is 74. He's tan. Malcolm McDowell is 70 years old. Tim Allen is 60. Our friend Rivers from Weezer is 43. Steve-O, 39. Chris Evans, who is strapping, is 32. Ashley and Mary-Kate are also strapping. They're 27. Kat Dennings.
Yes.
There he goes. 27. And our friend here at K-Rock, Lisa Warden, is probably about 32. I'd say.
Yeah. I'm going to say closer to 23.
I'm going to say 21.
I'm saying she'll be 18 next year.
Couldn't look any better. Maybe 18.
All right. Thanks so much, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May, I am Stryker, and I just completely ruined the show.
You tell her you're a virgin. This is how it's going to go. Tell me.
I'm a virgin.
I like that because you don't have chlamydia.
What if she laughs at me, though?
Then you punch her in the f***ing head if she laughs.
What's it like to have guns?
It is awesome, McLovin. I mean, like, it's like having two if one of your could kill someone.
I'm pregnant.
Off.
What?
What?
I'm pregnant?
With emotion?
With a baby. You're the father.
What the f***?
It's a form of leukemia.
Why are you telling me this, George?
Because I want you to possibly do me a favor.
What?
Kill me.
Can you at least give me like a night to think about it? Ha! Oh, I hate you, man. I could make a porno.
If it's so easy, how come everybody doesn't do it?
Because other people have options and dignity, which we do not have, which puts us in an amazingly advantageous position.
You have dignity.
Where? I saw someone murder someone else, and I think they've been following me. We gotta get the F out of here. Let's go.
Are you high?
What? No, I'm not high.
You are high as a f***ing kite.
I'm not high.
Sorry, we're out of time, Seth Rogen. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Boy, it's hard to find clips of you in your movies where you're not swearing. You and your potty mouth.
I know. Imagine how hard it is for us to make television commercials for our movies. It's really, it actually is incredibly difficult. And difficult to show clips editing. On talk shows, yeah, it's really, really hard.
I'm surprised Samsung hired you for that Super Bowl ad, knowing about your potty mouth, by the way.
I am too, but they did.
Seth Rogen is here. He is the co-director and screenwriter and actor of This Is the End, which is the movie everyone's talking about that doesn't care about Superbad. It is in theaters now.
It's true.
And from what I understand, Seth, is that I don't know how box office works, but you guys have already sort of kind of creeped into theaters. It's already showing, and you're already getting big money, right?
Yeah, we opened yesterday, and we made around a little under $8 million.
All right.
Wednesday,
dude.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, everyone's happy. Everyone's happy. It's all perception, I was just saying. And just the fact that the articles about the movie have words like impressive and stellar and strong before the word opening, for me, is a gigantic step in the right direction.
Yeah. And I would guess, you know, for most people who go to the movies on the weekends as well, I mean, you have a pretty bright weekend ahead of you.
Yes, I hope so. Well, I mean, honestly, the thing the movie has going for it is the movie itself. Like, it's a really good movie. People really, like the movie.
I'm not used to liking, I'll see a trailer and I'll go, that's for me.
Yeah.
And then my sweet spot with Rotten Tomatoes is between 15 and 22%.
Yeah.
Those are the movies that I like. They usually get that rating.
You should be a film critic.
So when I watch a movie trailer and I want to go see it really badly and it gets like a 88 or whatever the hell your movie's getting, it kind of scares me that it's good for everyone and I still am interested in it.
It happens sometimes.
How often does that happen?
It happens not that often. You make a movie that actually is good, that you think is good, and that gets good reviews, and that also makes the money that people hope it makes. That's like a three magical things need to occur in order for that to happen. And it's only happened to me a few times. Like, it hasn't happened a lot.
I was going to ask you about that, Seth, because you do lots of interviews for all of your movies because you're contractually obligated to.
You're actually not contractually obligated to.
What? I thought most actors are.
You're not.
They have to do a certain amount of press.
No, you don't have. I mean, you have to
Why do so many do so much press for movies that they know they don't believe in?
Because you just you want a, the studio to keep you in good favor. You know?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Guys,
is it possible that you're just bigger than most stars, so they're afraid to ask you?
No, I, no, not at all. Okay. I'm a producer. I work out the contracts with other actors, I know what's in there. And yeah, so, you're not contractually okay.
That's interesting to hear you say that, because I just imagine that there are times. Look, we all know how difficult it is to make a good movie. It's just as much hard work to make a bad movie as it is a good movie. I mean, that's the one thing that is true about Hollywood. So I know that there have been movies.
Sometimes harder.
I know that there have been movies that you've gone into that you had high hopes for, but for whatever reason, they didn't turn out that good and you aren't that proud of them. Yet you still have to go out there and push them sometimes. And that must be, this week must be so fun to you to have a movie that you love.
It's much better when you really like the movie. You definitely don't do as much for the movies that you don't love, I would say. Because again, you don't have to do anything. So if it's a movie that you really believe in and that you want to do well and that you like talking about and that you personally really are proud of, then it's then you want people to go see it, and so you want to come talk about it so more people see it, so more people can enjoy it, you know.
It seems like you have the coolest group of friends, by the way, and I know that's the thing about this movie is you're all playing kind of versions of yourself, but those of us on the other side of the screen, we look at that and go, man, it would be fun to be at a party at James Franco's house.
I'm sure it would be. I've never been to one.
But he's your buddy from way back. It's
he is. We've been to part. I don't even think he has a house, to be totally honest. But,
oh, that's right. He's that guy. I forgot. Yeah, but he's a hotel guy, right?
He's a kind of an apartment hotel guy. Dorms. I think he might live in a dorm. He might live in a dorm. Yeah. There's been some fun parties over the years, and the party in the movie is kind of representative of some of those. It's funny. Like, we kept talking about. Like, it has to be a party that you're kind of disgusted by, but you kind of want to be at the same time.
Those are the best.
And that's like, I think that's very representative of a lot of parties in Hollywood.
When you hang out with your buds like Jay and Jonah and guys like that, are you busting on each other all the time? Like, are you always making fun of each other?
It's different with different guys, I think. Not all of them. I think some of us.
Who has the worst sense of humor out of this group?
That's impossible. None of them. I mean, they're all actually like genuinely brilliant comedians, I think, in their own way. And they're all like comedy writers, you know? I mean, Jonah like wrote the story for 21 Jump Street. Craig is a stand-up. Danny writes Eastbound and Down. Franco's written and directed movies. Jay wrote this movie, The Goon, with my writing partner, Evan. And they're all like brilliant, you know, writers and comedians themselves. So it's
so that must have been the first time you sent your script, your early script out to them to read. That must have been a little, you might have been a little nervous about all the comments, right?
A little
bit. They're all going to come back because they're all writers too, so I'm sure they had a lot to say.
I was more worried that they're playing themselves and we were painting them as despicable, morally bankrupt, shallow,
you're not going to like this version of
egomaniacs.
You,
yeah. And we kind of, for some of the, like, for Jay a little bit, we kind of, like, really went at some of his actual, you know, like, he does live in Canada. He is, you know, been vocally anti-Los Angeles for much of the time that he lived in Los Angeles. You know, he's had self-righteous phases, I would say. And so,
but you can always throw how bad the Canadians are at him, though. You've always got that.
Oh, man, I would never. What's funny is, like, with every actor, we pitch them lines throughout the movie, and they almost all hit their limit at one point or another. And when Jay's limit was whenever we asked him to say something bad about hockey or Canada, he would just be like, no, I'm not doing that.
For real,
I refuse to portray myself as Jay Baruchel and say I don't like hockey or Canada. Or the Canadians.
You escaped Canada, Seth. You feel more like an American now?
No, not at all. No,
but you've been living here a long time.
I have, but I grew up. I mean, I lived in Canada until I was like 18 years old, and I went back and forth a lot till I was, you know, I moved here when I was like 17. But I think like that's where I really developed my sensibilities. And. And I think when you are born in another country and you spend like that much of your life in the other country, I mean, you really will always associate with being from that country, I think.
Do you find Americans are dicks?
No, I would not
say. More than Canadians?
More than Canadians, yes. Yeah. That's an impossible standard to hold people against.
Seth Rogen is here. We're talking about his film called This Is the End, which is in theaters everywhere, and it looks amazing. We got many more questions for the man, and we'll do that right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Seth Rogen in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. I was thinking back, Seth, I think you've been coming in on our show for 6 or 7 years, probably since, you know, back in the Superbad, the Knocked Up days. And every time you come out with another movie, I think, well, that's it. We'll never see Rogan again.
I think America thinks so.
But you are a man that is true to your word. You said you would come in to talk about This Is the End, and we are delighted to see you.
I'm like a cockroach.
How did the apocalypse enter into it? It's one thing to have a story of a bunch of people hanging out and, you know, slinging insults at each other, just having fun. But how did it end up being the end of the world? Where did that scenario come from your little brain?
We always just were big fans of those kinds of movies, honestly. And I think we found over the years, comedically, that kind of the worse situation the characters were in, the more opportunities there were for humor in a lot of ways. And there's literally no situation worse ever than the world ending.
But here's my favorite part. It looks like, and I haven't seen the movie yet, I'm going to, but it looks like you guys playing yourselves, the celebrities, are the worst.
Yeah.
In that situation.
Well, that's kind of the joke, is that celebrities have no actual skills of any sort. So we also felt like, who's the least equipped to deal with anything, literally, and it's famous people, which is very helpful. Like, they literally don't have food in their house. Like, probably like.
Stop, I heard him say stop. I think we have that clip from the movie, don't we, Kevin, of the celebrities kind of taking stock of, all right, the apocalypse is happening outside. We may be stuck in this house for a while. Let's fortify the walls. What do we have to eat and drink?
We got 12 bottles of water, 56 beers, 2 vodkas, 4 whiskey, 6 bottles of wine, tequila, Nutella, cheese, steaks, a Milky Way, 1/2 ounce sour diesel, 3.5 grams Grandmaster Kush, 1 ounce of shrooms, 15 pills of ecstasy, a porno mag, a baseball bat, and the video camera from the movie 27
Hours. 127
hours. 127 hours?
That's what I have in my house.
And please don't give anything away if you don't want to, if it's a surprise. But how does Rihanna end up at the party? And why are the Backstreet Boys in your movie, Seth?
Well, the second part of that question, I will leave a surprise.
All right. That's fine.
Rihanna we wanted just to ran a lot of random kind of famous people at the party. I've had parties where every once in a while you're like, how did that person wind up here?
Friend of a friend kind of deal.
Yeah, who invited them? So we kind of wanted a mix of people that you really expected and people that were kind of like the last people you expect. Like Emma Watson's in the movie also. She would probably fall into the last people
you wouldn't expect her to be there.
And and there's also just like tons of other, there's a lot of other famous people that like aren't featured in the commercials that are surprises throughout the rest of the
movie.
Was
it difficult to talk some of them into it? Did you have to give them a whole spiel? Or like Rihanna, was she just like, I'm in?
Yeah, we didn't want people we had to talk into it.
Right.
Because we knew we'd be asking them to do such ridiculous stuff. And we know that as far as the script pushes it, that when we get to set, we go even further and crazier. So, if they were in any way resistant, you know, initially, then we did not
just move on.
Want them. And no one was, is the thing. Everyone was like, yeah, totally. Like, they know what we do.
Yeah. So, you're a brand now.
I don't know about that.
You're a brand. I would go that far.
That's a good brand. we're an off brand.
Why does Satan have to be the bad guy in your movie, Seth? Come on, man. What about, why don't you respect other people and their beliefs?
It's true. You know what's funny is part of it came from, like, we grew up as Jews amongst many non-Jews. And it was funny because as we got older, we slowly realized, like, oh, all these people think we're going to hell in some way or another. And not, like, literally. But, like, if you really get down to it, that's kind of what, you know, it's saying.
That's right. That's true.
And that was always really interesting to us. And one day we were just kind of joking about, like, what if that was true? Like, what if, you know, we did get left back for whatever reason as everyone else got sucked up. And then as we kind of, that was just kind of the initial jumping off point. But then we really got into, like, that would be an interesting movie. It's like, what if the Christian apocalypse was happening and, like, the good people got sucked up and the bad people
and you're still here
did
going,
it,
hey,
you,
wait a minute.
Exactly. And you have to deal with the fact that you didn't get sucked up into heaven for whatever reason. You know?
I like that you get sucked up.
Sucked up.
The problem with that is when that apocalypse happens is that all the actors will still be on Earth, but there'll be nobody left to go see their movies.
That we address that in the movie.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
We make movies for ourselves and watch our own movies. We start making sequels to our own movies to entertain ourselves.
This Is the End is snort out loud hilarious, is what Entertainment Weekly said.
It's true.
The way.
They actually had a screening for us, and Kevin didn't get to go, but a bunch of us did. And there, you know, it's a little weird when there's only like five or six of you in a little screening room, but we were laughing out
Seth's
loud.
Had lots of movies with only five or six people in the theater.
Not that weird.
It was really funny. And I love all the inside jokes. They're just, it was hilarious.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's so go.
What is it like when you sit down to write this movie? You can't imagine that it's going to turn out like it did. You can't imagine that the critics are going to... You don't even know where it's going, do you?
You probably think the critics aren't going to
like
you
start,
it right off the bat.
I mean, you hope. I mean, we always think our movies are smart is the sad thing. Like that,
no, but I'm saying when you start writing, you may not even know where it's going to end up.
No, I mean, we spend a lot of time outlining and we really... You know, over the years have gotten better at, like, structurally making sure the movies function in a good way. Like, it is, like, a technical process in a lot of ways. We spend a ton of time just, like, making lists of ideas, honestly. Like, oh, someone gets possessed. This could happen. They run out of food. Someone has to go get it. Like, we watch lots
of... I'd like
of,
to see the list of things that
it's,
you...
It's crazy.
Jettison.
And we use the craziest ones. Just generally the idea. I mean, that's the idea. We just talk about what type of ideas, what the story could be, and it's really just, like, what ideas make us laugh the hardest and what ideas. We really try to put ourselves like in the shoes of the audience. I mean, we really make movies as like movie fans. So what we talk about a lot is like if we were in the theater watching this movie, what would we want? What would blow our minds? What would be the unexpected direction to take it? What would be the thing that we're like, yes, that's awesome, you know? That's what we talk about a lot.
When you name a movie This Is the End, you kind of put yourself into a corner if you have to make a sequel, Seth. Have you given some thought to seriously, you guys, no, I mean it this time it's really the end or something like that?
I think you just underline the word this.
Right.
This is the end.
It really
or you put
is.
The word no, comma, in front of it. No, this is the end.
Well, it really is one of the best reviewed movies of 2013. And it's
which is ridiculous.
Everywhere now. It is ridiculous.
But I agree.
I'll take that, but it's completely ridiculous.
And I can't wait to go see it. And I understand it does have the best anal rape scene we've seen in a movie in a
it
long
does.
Time.
I think, yes,
why isn't that on the poster? That's how you get the kids in the theater.
I know. Why do you? Yeah, I wish we could put that on the poster. But yeah, it's pretty remarkable how what we get away with in this
world. Well, we're super happy for you, Seth, man. It's always awesome to see you.
Thank you very much. Glad
thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Ralph Garman returns tomorrow with the Showbiz Beat here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's been out for a couple days filming that new Seth MacFarlane movie, which sounds awesome, by the way. He told us, hey, Stryker, how you doing, man? Oops.
Oh, you're on that mic.
Oh, thank you for turning the mic on.
Sorry. No, he told us, of course, that Charlize Theron was in the movie, that Liam Neeson was in the movie. But yesterday he sounded so excited tweeting about Mr. Belding being in the movie.
The Bell. Really? Dennis Haskins? Isn't that his real name?
Yes, apparently also in the film. So Ralph will be back with stories tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, one more look at the Showbiz Beat with Ted Stryker. Fill it in.
All right. Dennis Haskins, I would love to meet that guy. Saved by the Bell is second to 90210 in terms of greatest all shows of all time.
Somebody needs to get over to Stryker's house and clean out his DVR or something. What's happening?
I know.
Nothing bad. All right. First off, I have a giveaway. Five winners. How about callers 10 through 14? Now, this may not sound great on the surface, but believe you me, this is a fantastic event. The Irvine Lake Mud Run. This is my fifth time doing it. It's on June 22nd. I get you into the event for free. You get muddy. There's lots of booze and bands and dirtiness and camaraderie. And the girls that do this thing don't wear a lot of clothes and people wear costumes and it's fun. And if you want to be in it, it's IrvineLakeMudRun.com June 22nd or as I said, callers 10 through 14 right now. I will see you out there. I do the mud run. I'm out
Stryker,
there doing it.
I know that people love it and I know that it's fun, but I don't understand the event. Why do you want to run through mud?
Oh, Bean.
What's that about?
If you have to ask that question.
It's
not for you.
It's just a way to get people together, do some sort of exercise, and feel like you have done something. You get dirty, and then a fireman or a woman hoses you off with their hose.
Is that code?
The hose is a very
and then
big
they use water?
Yeah.
I don't think this event is for you, Bean, but
no, it doesn't sound like
Bean,
it.
Bean, right. Everybody has a price. How much could I give you for you to do the mud run with me?
I just know.
You couldn't.
Let me put it another way. No.
You couldn't.
How about a free goat?
Oh. No. I don't get it. I mean, look, I get if you want to run someplace, you can run on a road. What? It doesn't make any sense to run through mud.
You're not just going through mud. There's obstacles. They have a big, giant garbage disposal thing full of ice water you go through.
Bean
there's
doesn't
hoops
like
and swings.
Fun things.
No.
If it's fun, he's not a fan.
Bean just YouTube spiders having babies on a mattress in his house.
Yeah, that's him. That's fun for him.
All right, Bean, I have a question for you.
See.
What is the name of Farrah Abraham's porno movie?
It is called Backdoor Teen Mom?
That is correct.
Farrah Abramson?
Is it Farrah Abramson?
No.
I thought it was Farrah Abraham.
No, that's just me saying
it
wrong.
Is Abraham.
So the star of that particular film, which has great cinematography, Backdoor Teen Mom, was texting Charlie Sheen, and I have some of the exchange right here, which I would like to share with everybody.
Please.
So Farrah writes to Charlie, "Hello. Just wanted to say I was excited to meet you if anger management ever ends up booking me, but I don't know if that'll happen. So I just felt like saying you're super funny and would love to meet you at some point, and I'm in town a lot, hopefully soon, and we'll move to the area, and maybe we can meet up for a play date with our children, or maybe just for some coffee and we can relax. Let me know, happy face. This week I'm doing appearances and other work and could only meet later in the day." So Charlie writes...
Holy cow!
Charlie writes...
I wish she has an unlimited texting plan.
Yeah, I don't need a text that long from anyone. Wow!
So she said, and she continues, "All the best and hope you're having a great week." And he writes back, "You sound fabulous. Coffee is for amateurs and grandma."
Nice.
Yeah. Let's get right to it.
"Would love to get together," followed by 3 exclamation points. So Charlie Sheen will be having sex with the star of Backdoor Teen Mom within the next, I'd say, 10 to 21 days.
If it hasn't already happened.
I'd say 15 to 20 minutes.
15 to 20 minutes.
By the way, let's notice that she said in that rambling text message that I might be moving out there soon, which means she's already plotting her next showbiz move. And, of course, she wants to relocate to Los Angeles so she can do a TV show, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Probably a reality show or something
Please
like that.
Please, let's not let that happen.
There's nothing that bothers me more when people come out with a sex tape and claim that it was, oh, I don't know how it got out there. You have to sign a release for things to be released, no pun intended.
That's correct.
You have to sign things away. And the acting from the Kardashians and the Hiltons, just it drives me crazy. Lindsay Lohan, who I was watching Mean Girls the other day, and she is so charming and cute
and
fantastic.
Agreed.
That was the peak of her professional career.
And it could have kept going great.
Yeah.
She is checked out of the Betty Ford treatment down there in Palm Springs, and she, but it's not
Is her 90 days up?
No, it's only been 30 days. And apparently the Betty Ford down there in Palm Springs is good for 30 days. So they have moved her to a place that can really do treatment on her for the next 60 days. And that is, of course, in the rough and tumble neighborhood of Malibu. She's at Cliffside in Malibu now. And it's all been approved, so it's on the up and up, and it's good. And I hope she comes out funny, charming, nice, and clean, and does not talk to her father, mother, possibly the mother, maybe the father. I don't know. Maybe they'll get treatment.
Again.
And just kick I've never said this term on the radio. Kick the friends to the curb.
Yep.
I've never said that
That's
before.
The answer
you
for
go,
her.
Girl. You go, Wendy Williams.
This story is just for Bean. There is a picture of Kate Upton in a bikini with her boobs out.
Why is this for me? This is for everyone. You. This is for the world.
This is for the world.
This is for the world, but Bean, I know you appreciate her. You had your avatar on Twitter as her for a very long time, so this is for you. And since it's the Kevin and Bean show, I am directing this towards you. There's
also a
picture of her kissing a gentleman. I cannot pronounce his name, but I believe it's Nicolaj Coster-Waldau. And then later
Close
she
enough.
Was on a date with Maxim Chermoulou-Lulovsky.
Why does she hate Americans? Come on!
I don't know, but I don't like it. And it's amazing, the Dancing with the Stars guys, they date all the hot chicks.
Yes, they do.
They're
they do.
Always going out with good-looking girls.
Yes, they are.
Yep.
All right, let's get to some birthdays today. Magician Siegfried of Siegfried and Roy is 74. Actor Malcolm McDowell, who is still unbelievably dreamy. He's 70. Tim Allen, kind of dreamy, 60. Rivers Cuomo is 43. Steve-O, 39. Chris Evans is 32. Kat Dennings,
yes,
27. Ashley and Mary-Kate Olsen are also 27. Lisa, our dog, Warden of K-Rock, is in her upper 20s. And Kevin and Bean and Lisa and Beer Mug and Christine Funk, but thanks again. I love being on here. Ralph, thanks for letting me fill in.
We love having you.
Thank you. I'm Stryker.
Stryker, everybody.
Yeah.
Stryker.
I just ruined the showbiz beat. Bye.
Weekday afternoons from 2 to 6, you can hear our boy Stryker. Great to see you, Ted. Thank you.
Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, that means Movie Beat. Ralph will be back with that to review movies that he has not seen. We also have the person who brought Catfish to MTV, Nev Schulman, on the program
Boy,
tomorrow.
Does he get fooled a lot. Man,
yes, he
why
does.
Doesn't he get his radar up every once in a while?